Welcome aboard, you people. Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Exciting to be here at the United Center for the season opener tonight. It's going to be an exciting night.
No big deal.
Game time conditions right here. It's me. It's Anna. It's Kevin Powell, who will be outside at 5 o'clock covering for us the red carpet. And Violetta, who will be receiving the players as they exit the red carpet by handing out her business card.
Yes.
Personal cell phone number.
What's your line, Kevin? You're going to say, who are you wearing?
Who are you wearing? Of course. Yes. I'll bring my fashion expertise to the red carpet, per usual.
Yes.
And my fashion expertise is minimal, so I'm not going to give you guys a
whole... I can check what they're wearing if you need help.
Yeah, I may need some help in that department.
Do you think you'll know what they're wearing? I mean, guys don't... It's very hard to tell what a guy's wearing.
I think most
Zegna,
Target.
Armani, what is it? What are they?
Target,
wearing?
TJ Maxx.
Yeah, no, I don't think. Well, I guess maybe.
Right, fresh off the rack.
Yeah, I mean, you could go with Zegna. I mean,
Zegna.
these guys have a lot of dough. Barbados, Zegna.
Maybe some Armani. I don't know. I think I'd like to know. Maybe we'll see if Kevin can figure that out for us.
Okay, I'll work on that.
And then they'll wear the skinny ties, which you love, and the kind of the tighter trouser.
I will say that among professional athletes, hockey players are some of the best dressed.
Oh, yeah,
I will
are.
Say that.
Yes,
you know
they
what
are.
They should get? They
clean
should
up
get
well.
The Hart Scheffner Marks, fine sponsor of this program. The Hart Scheffner Marks suits because they have...
These are beautiful.
Not only are they beautiful, but they also have a skinny version now. You know, they have like the Brooklyn.
Chicago cut and the Brooklyn cut.
They got the Brooklyn cut. They got the L.A. cut. Either one of those would work for hockey players.
That's good for those. The
Chicago cut, not so much. Maybe Coach Q and the Chicago cut. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm more of a Chicago cut guy myself, you know, especially since it's bulking season this time of year. You got to have a little extra room to move in those suits. But I'm sure they'll be looking snappy. Excited for the year to start.
And what a game, right? They're playing the defending Stanley Cup champs.
Who raised the banner last night. Maybe they're tired.
Followed it up with a loss in overtime. They probably are.
Isn't that exhausted? Isn't that, though, how it always goes?
Yeah, you see that in all sports. It's always
the banner. They always lose the banner.
And none of them ever admit that it's a distraction or anything like that. But time after time, every year, in basically every league, the team who has all those pregame festivities, something always goes wrong. And they were down 4-2. Hmm. They came back and lost in overtime.
So. I want to remember. Hold on. Let me just think about this for a second. The New England Patriots. Let's see. They won the Super Bowl last year, and then they had their first game this year. And what
happened in that game?
Had happened was they got blown out.
Yeah. Let's just check back later in the season. I think.
Okay.
See how the Patriots are doing.
Listen, after Monday night, the Bears are going to be 2-3, and then a week from Sunday, they are going to be 3-3, and they are going to make the playoffs.
Just saying. The Super Bowl's in Minnesota this year. If anybody wants to book a ticket,
it's a nice place
to beat the crowd.
I understand the concourses are too thin.
According to Mark Schapelson, not a huge fan of the new Vikings stadium.
Right. He's not a Vikings fan, as it turns out.
Yes.
He's a Packers fan. So that makes that. But he thinks that the concourses are too thin. They're small like Trump's hands.
Right.
Hey, speaking of that, we do have in the top five. We would like you to stay here the whole time.
Speaking ahead.
But if you have to come back for the top five. There is amazing audio of Ivana Trump. Not Ivanka. Ivanka's mom, Ivana,
his ex,
Donald's the president's first wife, talking about how she's advising him.
Oh, did she make it to be an ambassador to somewhere yet, or is that
Czech Republic?
Happened?
Right, wasn't that what she was going for?
Yeah, I thought so, but it doesn't seem like that materialized yet.
Boom, 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 boom. You know what's interesting about this too is he has a definite region in Europe that he likes to go fishing in.
Certain look he's aiming for.
Guys have their types, don't they?
Yeah,
that's true.
He's got that whole sort of Czech Slovene sort of thing that goes on there.
I think we nailed it yesterday, though. I think that they don't necessarily read all of the stuff he says the same way an American would. And so, you know, some of it slips through. You know, just like, it's all right, that's just a translation
that
thing.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of people who say things like that. That makes sense to me.
Violetta, throw your hat in the ring. What are you waiting for?
Yeah. I money speaks wonders in Europe.
Yes. And now so does power, because he just figured, you know, since he's already the richest man in America, or so he claimed to Brooke Shields, he...
richest man in Slovenia.
Yeah, now he's the most powerful man in the world. I mean, that's even better.
Yeah.
He's rich and powerful.
Well, he could actually say that now and be truthful rather than the richest man in the world comment or in America.
And he's really great looking. And he's got great hair for his age. It looks just like it did when he was 35 or so, he thinks, when he looks in the mirror.
The people will love it. You and me, Brooke.
Right. Mm-hmm. Brooke.
The people.
You are America's sweetheart. I'm the richest man in America. The people will love it. That was his come on line to Brooke Shields.
I'm going to use that line in the bar.
Do you think she regrets it?
I'm the richest man in Chicago. You're beautiful. America loves you. What do you say?
The people will
no
love us.
The people, these people will love it. Actually, start small,
Kev.
You can
try that, Kev. That might work.
Start small. Go with the people in this bar will love it.
And say I'm the best sportscaster in the world.
Right, right. Okay.
And then,
okay.
You know, go all up right. From there.
Work my way up.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, no matter what you'll be at Melania soon.
The people will love us.
Believe me, Melania will be available soon at her own behest. I can't stand this one more minute. I'm taking boy. All right, let's step down here, and we'll bring you back to the United Center and all the other stuff. We do have a few important things and serious things to deal with. And now Chicago has gotten wrapped into the Las Vegas story in the last couple of hours. There is a theory that this gunman in Las Vegas may have attempted to actually get a hotel room above Lollapalooza on Michigan Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Blackstone Hotel. I mean, it just gives you chills that he was potentially scouting other venues or maybe thinking about places he could go to sort of think about his plan, his strategy. It's unclear what that was all about, or even if it's absolutely him. I guess they're saying someone with his name who they suspect to be him.
Who didn't show up for it, though.
Didn't show up.
Which is interesting. So Brad Garrett, formerly the FBI, now with ABC News, will be standing by to tell us about that. But first, here is Violetta, the future first lady of the United States. Or would you have to be second lady at that point because he was the second wife while president?
I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
Don't worry about it. This will be over quickly.
The marriage, right?
It's Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis live from the Blackhawks home opener sponsored by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. Brad Garrett is joining us from ABC News, formerly of the FBI. And Brad, obviously, top story in Chicago today is, did the Las Vegas shooter, Stephen Paddock, actually have his sights set on Lollapalooza here back in August? And is it he who tried to rent a hotel room, which would have had a pretty similar line of sight to that event as did his hotel room in Las Vegas? What more light should be shed on that?
Well, I think we have to figure out, if possible, if he was in fact there to do that, or was he in Chicago for some other reason? You know, I'm not discounting that he might have been shopping for locations, but you know, the point being that it we could probably go around to, if he visited a number of hotels, come up with possible other scenarios, but it does have to be checked out. And the question always begs, and it's begged since the beginning of this case. Does he really have anybody helping him, whether they know they're helping him or not? And, you know, that still remains to be seen. The sheriff seemed to intimate he had help, but wouldn't define that.
Brad, talk about that a little bit, because initially when that was first said, a lot of people said, well, couldn't he go and build this arsenal of weapons himself? Couldn't he get the ammonium nitrate himself? A lot of the things he had maybe could have gotten himself on his own and done this slowly. But then the sheriff sort of doubled down and said, no, we have reason to believe maybe he did not act alone, and they seem to be putting out the call so that anyone who's seen him, had any interaction with him in these last few weeks, should come forward. It seems they really need that piece.
Right, and it could be something just as simple that he took the AR-15s to a gunsmith or a gun range, and they helped him, or they installed the bump stocks, which are legal. There are those possibilities. I mean, I haven't seen anything in this case that would suggest that he got somebody else involved in knowingly and actively involved in helping him. But we'll see. I mean, it clearly isn't there yet.
Now, right, and that's the thing, is that there's so much theory here that because it was a complicated plan, he did amass so many weapons, and you do have to have some mechanical capability here to be able to install these things. Some. I mean, I don't think it's a ton of it, though, right? I mean, do you know for sure? Are you familiar with the bump stock technology?
Well, a little bit, but removing the stock of any is not, you don't even need to be a gunsmith to do that. So,
right.
And they come with instructions. So I don't know, you know, I just threw that out as maybe a possibility. Ammonium nitrate basically is, you know, fertilizer, more or less. So the idea that took a lot of sophistication to acquire, I'm more interested in why he had it than where he got it, in a way. So you know, what is that? Was that going to be round two? Is he going to go blow something up after he killed everybody? I don't know.
Yeah, they're also talking about the fact that he may have, or the theory that he may have had an escape plan. Why are they saying that, do you think?
Well, yeah, I'm only going to guess based on what they found in the hotel room. You know, they said they found the note, and it wasn't a suicide note, which doesn't surprise me. He's not the kind of guy that would probably leave one of those. But was there something in there to suggest that he had a plan B, in other words, an escape, you know? He's like so many other people that commit these horrendous acts. They don't plan everything out. He didn't plan on the smoke detector going off. He didn't plan on law enforcement with apparently a pretty astute security guard figure out what room he was in and basically stopped him after 11 minutes, after he shot the security guard, and he stopped shooting. So, you know, all of those things, when you do bad things, sometimes you just can't plan for everything.
Yeah.
Do you think does that speak to his state of mind, do you think, Brad, that he actually thought he could escape from this, what he had planned, from the 32nd floor of a highly patrolled, highly, you know, surveilled piece of real estate in the Vegas Strip?
Well, I think if you're delusional enough to think that you could even pull off the shooting, and the whole idea that he took, in my view, a ridiculous number of guns into that hotel room, I would have taken three AR-15s with, you know, maybe you could put a bump stock in every one of them and, you know, 1,000 rounds of ammunition, and that would have been it. You could put all those in one duffel bag. So, I'm just suggesting that this guy is pretty delusional, for starters.
Yeah. Well, I think that's
one of the... and what he is.
Brad, that's one of the things. I mean, this is right in your wheelhouse of expertise, too, when you're dealing with terrorists or you're dealing with mass shooters. This is when you talk to people who survive these things, the perpetrators who survive this, and they do analysis, personality analysis, you find that these people, you know, they may be delusional. They may have had a break from reality in a lot of ways, and they may have, you know, some sort of, you know, form of evil has overtaken their soul. But it doesn't mean that they are disorganized. It doesn't mean that they are not capable of you know, very devious conduct.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What you have to separate is the following. When people say he's crazy, well, crazy means he's psychotic, and he's hearing voices, and, you know, that God's telling him what to do, for example, which is not the case with guys like that for the very reason you just said. Does he have probably some pretty severe mental health problems? Absolutely. There's no question about it. But are they crazy type, where you don't know what you're doing, right, you don't know right from wrong? The answer is no. He knows exactly what he was doing, and he had his own personal reasons why he did it.
I think that's the thing that scares people, and, mm-hmm. and people in law enforcement, especially long careers and storied careers like yours, Brad, people know. You know, you've seen all of these types of personality types or studied them on some level, and it's very disturbing, you know, to people who, everyday people like ourselves, who, sure, you know, go through our lives and we just assume that everything's going to be okay, because you have to do that. But to know that there are people out there who are, you know, just capable of such random acts of mass casualty capability. You know, this is one of those things. Well, it is interesting, by the way, the NRA, of all things,
yep.
I know this is not in your expertise necessarily, but the NRA is now saying that, you know, there may be some, they'd be open to legislative adjustment on the bump stock. Mm-hmm. So that does, I think that's a step in the
it
right
is,
direction.
And they banned them at their own gun range at headquarters. So it makes you wonder, where did he go to practice if it doesn't seem like it's that easy to do?
Well, I think it is fairly easy to do. I mean, Las Vegas, yesterday there were still ads up. There's billboards and cars that have ads on them in Las Vegas, you know, from those ranges where you can go fire fully automatic weapons in Las Vegas.
Gosh.
It's one of the you know, the sideshow things you can go do. When you don't get your picture taken at the Welcome to Las Vegas sign, you can go fire a fully automatic weapon. And they literally had their advertising back out on the street the next day, which, you know, is the ultimate
hard
tone
to see.
Deaf. All right, Brad, thank you so much. Really appreciate it, sir, as always.
Thanks, Brad.
Take care.
Brad Garrett, formerly of the FBI, now ABC News correspondent. Here is Kim Gordon standing by. WGN News, 2 minutes away. Rokan Show with Hannah DeBlantis live from the United Center. Chicago Blackhawks home opener taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins, brought to you by Citgo. Citgo is fueling good.
Red carpet arrivals about an hour and 20 minutes away.
Our own Kevin Powell will be out there having thoughts about who they are wearing. And Violetta,
who are you wearing?
Violetta is also one of our fashion police. She is with us as well. And
I don't care what they're wearing.
Who's like the GOAT red cart, the red carpet
guy?
Or like a broadcaster, announcer, commenter person? Like on E Network, is there somebody who's really, really good at it that I should be trying to emulate?
There's, Juliana Rancic was.
Right. Yeah, she was on the Fashion Police.
He's like a guy. Who's the guy? There is a guy.
There's the one guy. Yeah, who's the guy who they're always with? He's great.
Notice that nobody notices the guy.
Right. Right.
Well, with Tim Gunn, the guy who used to be, you know, with
on Project Runway.
Project Runway. He could be good.
Okay.
Maybe you
could
emulate him.
I'll Google Tim Gunn.
Tim Gunn is a really awesome, really nice guy and a really fun interview and broadcaster and stuff. So you should be like him.
Okay.
I think we know as much about fashion as the Blackhawks do. So
that's true.
Yeah, that's probably true. Hey, Tom Skilling is joining us right now from the WGN TV
Weather
Center.
Another sharp-dressed man.
And
yes.
Yeah. What are you wearing?
Right
now,
who
are you wearing, Tom? Oh,
I've got suspenders on. Let's see, a blue shirt. No, I don't think they'll be talking about me on the runway.
Do you know who? You know? All right, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Do you know who made the blue shirt that you're wearing?
No. You mean by name?
Brand.
It was
Brand.
Joe.
Oh, Brand is it.
Joe. Yeah.
Joe in Guatemala or something like that. I don't know. I just, yeah.
Just Guatemala Joe.
That's
my new brand, by the way.
Perfect.
Yeah, Guatemala Joe.
You should endorse it, Tom.
Yes. It's really just for human trafficking and drug dealing.
Oh, right,
that's
gosh.
What it is. All right, let me ask you. Let's talk about something here. In seriousness, there is another hurricane that is working its way. Speaking of Guatemala, it's right off the Guatemalan coast, isn't it?
It is. Costa Rica, Panama, Guatemala, and Nicaragua. And, of course, you know, when they get rains there, they've got mountains that start mudslides. And that's exactly what they're talking about. There have been some historic and very deadly tropical cyclones that have hit that area and initiated that sort of flooding. I have a friend who's a pilot out of Waukegan. He flies jets, and he's down there in Costa Rica and sending me some pictures back. And I guess they are indeed getting some rain and some flooding there. Now, here's the deal. This thing's going to, it's intersected land right now, but it will go back out over the Caribbean, and the water is warm and loaded with heat content down there. Then it'll swipe the area around Cancun and northeast Yucatan Peninsula, and then it goes out over the Gulf, and the waters are warm. They're running up to a degree Celsius, almost 2 degrees Fahrenheit, warmer than average, and high energy content there, heat content. And, they've also got that infamous loop current, which runs up between Cuba and the Yucatan. It's very warm water that comes up from the Caribbean.
So it's going to shoot this thing straight north.
Yeah, and it looks, tell you the truth, it looks like it has New Orleans in its sight. Yeah.
Oh, man. So that's at the cone of variability. That's the center of the cone of variability right now.
Right, exactly. And
it doesn't seem, it seems like it's intensifying. There's no signs or any kind of meteorological reason why it would,
no.
It would not.
You know, I was looking, two things you look for. One, will it have plenty of heat energy off the ocean? Yes. And two, is there any shear that would disturb the thunderstorms consolidating? And the answer there is no. So these are the two parameters that tropical forecasters take seriously. Now, right now, the Hurricane Center has a top wind intensity of about 80 miles per hour, 80, 85 miles per hour. But we have some models that suggest, you know, there could be a 100-mile-per-hour, 100-knot hurricane out in the Gulf at some point over the weekend. So this is something to watch, and it would head for a portion of the Gulf Coast that heretofore has not been hit by, Harvey, or Irma. So it would kind of complete the arc there, you know, and bring some folks in.
All the way west from... Obviously, from you had Texas,
sure.
Far west. This is the sort of the Midwest of that coast.
Yeah,
and then Florida and obviously Puerto Rico.
Unbelievable.
When you stop and you think about the massive damage that has been done, and you know we talk about. We're on to talking about Puerto Rico, and for obvious reasons, because you have a humanitarian crisis there.
Yeah. Right.
You don't have a humanitarian crisis in Texas or Florida, but you still have a ton of damage.
Yeah.
I was talking to people from Orlando who were, all kinds of trouble
right.
in Orlando. And the house is flattened. As a matter of fact, Disney went into for Disney World and their employees there, they went into a an emergency posture.
Yes.
And they actually have some of their employees who their houses were totally destroyed who are living on property right
Stunning.
Now.
Stunning.
It is, Tom.
You know, there was the greatest percentage of the population of Florida that's ever lost electricity that lost electricity in that storm, too. So that's not surprising to hear, Ro. And I gather there have been some evaluations of the keys, as you've pointed out a number of times, that are not real uplifting either.
I mean, thankfully, Key West appears to be mostly in the main spared by this storm, by the storm that went through it, and we anticipate that Key West will be open for business this fall into the winter. But in the Middle Keys and some of the other lower Keys, you can get through them, but there isn't a whole lot left.
Yeah. A lot of rebuilding there.
That's it. Hey, very quickly, let me just ask you before we go.
Sure.
Because we have to jump here fairly quickly. But here's the thing, the big marathon Sunday.
Right.
Weather still good?
Yes. Looks lovely. There'll be some thunderstorms into Saturday afternoon, but they're long gone by Sunday morning. You know, okay. I've gotten some interesting feedback from runners who are involved in it, and I said, how do you feel if I tell you the temperature is going to be 62 as the race starts? What do you say about that? Well, they said you add 20 degrees in terms of their bodies. How it interprets the atmosphere.
So 50 would be better for them or 48 or something like that.
The consensus seems to be, while it's not the kind of situation we had a couple of years ago where we had that 90 and people were passing out, by the same token, it's not ideal.
Let me just say one more thing to you, Tom. You know, we've been talking about whether or not you and I should be running in this thing. But we and our cardiologists and medical professionals and
start
all
with the 5K.
I didn't realize that was an open question. I thought that had been concluded as if you want us around for the show on Monday, we will not be running this weekend, you know?
Yeah, no, I had a University of Wisconsin geologist call me and say, please don't do it. We don't know what kind of impact
there
is on our mantle.
Well, those geologists know a lot about our hearts.
Yeah. But here's what I want to tell you. Uh-huh. There is a guy who is 91 years old who's going to run in the race on Sunday.
Wow. That
91.
Isn't that
your age, right?
Are you? It's close. It's close to me and Tom.
Yeah.
And let me just say something, Tom. Doesn't that make you feel like a jerk? Because
it makes
me feel like a jerk.
It does. You've depressed me the rest of the broadcast day.
Sorry.
I don't know how.
Do a 5K. Just sign up for a 5K and let's get going from there.
At least half of it. You guys can share the 5K.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we could do it. You know what? Do one of those run
relay?
Walks.
Relay.
We could start. Yeah. Relay. I'll do 2.5K.
Sure.
And then you do the other 2.5K, and we're
good
to go.
Sounds good.
That's like a 3-block walk, I think. Anyway.
Now, that we could handle, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
We can work that out.
Well, Violetta will be there, and Anna.
I'll cheer you guys on for 5K.
It's just like that Infinity commercial, right? She'll get in the car. She'll drive around.
Right.
Are we here? Okay, there they go.
There you go.
Bye. Yeah.
That's
see
it.
You later.
Move on to the next one.
Yeah.
We'll have margaritas waiting at the end.
Two ladies will save us.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Yeah, that's always worked out for me.
Yes.
All right, Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate
you, Ro.
Take care, guys.
Bye, Anna.
Thank you.
Bye, Violetta.
Right.
Bye.
Ro Concho and Anna DeBlantis live from United Center. We're getting ready for the Blackhawks home opener. They're taking on the Pens tonight. Pittsburgh Penguins, Stanley Cup defending champions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this could be fun. Yeah.
Could be fun.
And just this announced today that the new Blackhawks community rink, which is just to the south of here.
The Practice Ice Arena
is now being named the MB Ice Arena. And Brian Wildman is here. He's the executive vice president of MB Financial. MB means business, by the way, Brian. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's the situation here. So congratulations on this, by the way.
Thank you.
Great, it's awesome.
Great
partnership.
Opportunity.
Yeah, it is great.
And it does, and people, I don't think, really get exactly what this is going to be because, you know, ice time in Chicago is hard to come by families who want their kids to play hockey or ice skate in any way, shape, or form. And the Hawks are adding the two rinks, right, to the total here.
And that was really the key to MB's sponsorship. It was just a state-of-the-art practice facility. It probably wouldn't have made us that excited. But the fact that they put two rinks in there to really reach out to the community and serve the surrounding neighborhood really made it attractive for us.
And
really
it cool. says it's for a lot of youth hockey is going to happen here. I was reading through, and they talk about how they've got the little players, they've got the learn-to-play hockey players that they're going to give ice time to. It's really about kids.
Yeah, and they're going to bring a lot of nonprofits in here, too, to give them skate time. So over 90% of the ice time is going to be devoted to the community.
How about that?
Isn't it amazing, too? I mean, this organization not only has – Rocky Wirtz, and I give him the lion's share of the credit here. Not only turned the Chicago Blackhawks into 3-time Stanley Cup champions since he's taken it over, but he wants to build hockey in this town the way that hockey used to be, right? I mean, almost 2 decades were missed of hockey development in the city in terms of for kids and high school players and college players and stuff like that. And so now you guys are right at the forefront of that.
Yeah, when you think about what's going on in hockey right now, it's amazing. We've been a partner with the Blackhawks for the last 8 years. It's been a great partnership. And really what's made it so good is that we both share a value of building our community. So it really made this ice arena, the MB Ice Arena, such a great partnership.
Do you
for
play
us.
Hockey or anybody in no. your family?
Ice skate.
Do you ice skate?
Weak ankles?
I did, particularly if the wind's at my back. That always helps.
I do that too. I get on them and I just put my arms out.
Oh,
and
I love that. That's the only way I look good when
I'm
ice skating.
Makes it really tough to get back, though.
Yes, exactly. Well, I just hope that I hope the wind is blowing toward the bar. That's kind of the
I'm
way
done.
I look at it.
I'm done.
It's the way to do it. All right. And this is it's a 125,000 square foot facility here
it's
too.
Big.
And there's gonna be other stuff in there as well for community and for there's obviously the ice rinks are the main draw here, but there's gonna be restaurants and things that
all kinds of classrooms. About. I think the thing that amazed me was I saw there was 22 different locker rooms. I thought, how can you have 22 different locker rooms?
Well, for tournaments, for kids tournaments, you absolutely need them, and for and also for that training and ice time. My God, how many adults who want to pretend they're in the NHL and they go around, they play, and it's and they have to. Their games are from 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning, right? When they're doing it. So, well, thank you so much, Brian. Appreciate you being with us, Executive Vice President of MB Financial, Brian Wildman. Rocancho with Anna DeVlantis live from the Blackhawks home opener, brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO.
One of our favorite people has stepped up to the microphone.
Here's our guy, Chef Mike.
Chef Mike, we're so happy to see you. I almost didn't recognize you without your big, tall, white hat on.
I just tried to put my headphones on with the hat.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
No.
It didn't work.
It's really funny because it does make you 18 inches taller.
And I'm not a tall guy, so every inch
helps.
It works.
What are you, 5'?
I'd say 5'5 on a good day.
Good day.
Depending on what
with
shoes
lifts,
I'm wearing.
With the Tom Cruise lifts on?
Yeah,
he's got it. That's about Tom Cruise. Hey, listen, he was great in American Made. Hey, listen. Let's talk about we love having you on because not only are you you're a ton of fun, but you're one of the most accomplished guys in this building at any given time, because you are responsible for feeding between 20,000 and 30,000 people a day. And only a guy who was a Marine could be able to pull that off. That's what I'd like to say.
We got so tough skin.
Yes, that's true.
We know how to adapt and overcome.
Yes. So here's our challenge for now. For people who are coming to the United Center this year for the home opener, or for the first couple of weeks of either the Hawks or the Bulls, what can they expect that's different?
There are some subtle changes in the beginning that they might notice. The atrium is kind of slowly evolving to what it's eventually going to become, where the Michael Jordan statue is, so they'll notice that right away. A little farther down the line, we have a couple new rooms that are going to be opening up, a music club room, and then a VIP Bulls room, which will be accessible for some guests, which is new. And
just a VIP season ticket holders and things like that.
Yeah, they
and Rokan and Anna DeVlantis probably we would be on that list.
You
might know people. You can get on the list.
Yeah.
I don't know if Chef Mike's good enough to know, but you might have to go a little higher up.
We'll see what we can do.
Those spaces are going to be new. Eventually down the road in November, we're going to open that sexy new training facility down the street.
Right.
We finally got to walk that a little bit, and it's going to be it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Financial, yeah.
Yeah.
That's we were just talking to the guy from MB. They're so proud. This city's going to love it. Especially hockey families or ice skating families. People who've got kids who either want to play hockey or they want to be figure skaters or whatever it is. It's ice time. There's such a dearth of ice time in Chicago.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people who want to do it and so little, good ice available for people to train on and learn on and play on.
And such a growing interest in the sport. So that's where it sort of conflicts. You have
really
kids
cool.
who really would like to play that, don't have the opportunity. And that change.
And you got food going in there.
We have food. We have Dunkin' Donuts is in there. There's going to be a bar. And there's also going to be a concession stand.
You know, if you're
and there's
hockey,
catering available.
Here's what you don't want.
Plus
the
player dining, which is important. You can't forget about the
player dining. There's 22 different locker rooms there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's what you want. You want a drunk hockey mom.
What could go wrong?
I wouldn't have went to mom. I thought maybe someone watching a game might want to have a drink.
But I'm just saying.
Chef Mike.
Maybe
the
hockey moms.
The hockey moms. I'm familiar with the hockey moms. Oh, look out.
Wasn't Sarah Palin a hockey mom?
She said,
remember she talked about that?
What is the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Hockey mom wears lipstick. Well, that's what she said. That was hers. She said that. She is the one who said it at her speech at the Republican National Convention in Minneapolis.
Really?
Yes. That was in her acceptance speech. That was her joke that she told. See how times have changed now?
They really have. We've gotten very sensitive.
In 9 years, we can't even tell that joke. Anyway.
That's a strong joke.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's what we thought. Okay, so what have you – now, you brought new cocktails here. What are these from?
Yeah, we have – these are from Kettle One. So we have Underhoof, which is with Johnny Walker Black, and then the Buzzer Beater, which is Crown Royal. And then I brought you some the new entrees from Kettle One. We're really excited. We reinvented our burger down there. It's a great burger to begin with, but they challenged the guys over the summers and the gals and said, what can we do to really make the burger stand out? And we make our own in-house brioche bun. And you won't find a lot of places because it's very expensive to make. It's time-consuming. But when it's made right, it's heaven. Because it's 50% egg, 50% butter. How can you go wrong?
I already did some taste testing. It's delicious.
Oh, my.
So it took us about 4 trials to kind of get the right amount of weight so that, you know, the problem with a good burger has to have the great ratio between bread and burger.
Okay.
Sometimes you get a burger that's got too much bread, you don't enjoy the meat. Sometimes you don't get enough bread and everything's all over the place. So it was trials and tastings, and we finally got it to where we like it, and we're pretty excited about it.
Chicagoans are such burger experts, too. I mean, they're high expectations, and you guys always deliver on that stuff. It's really amazing.
Yeah, burgers are, you know, everybody has their favorite little local burger place, whether it's grilled, whether it's flame broiled, whether it's seared on a flat top. It just depends on what you're in the mood for.
And what is this one?
This one is on it. We grill it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if Chef Mike is aware of it, but I like to eat at the Kettle One Club. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And
fascinating.
Oh, my God. The Kettle One Club for stadium experience anywhere in this country, and I've been to a lot of stadiums and eaten in a lot of stadiums, there is nothing that compares. It's great dining down there. And like your chicken – I notice you're doing another, like a chicken dish, which is like a half chicken, right? And you've done it Greek style over the years. And all that,
which Vesuvio.
Vesuvio, that was great. What is this here?
This one's just a simple roasted chicken, but the great part is we take some potatoes and we boil them. Mm-hmm. And when they're completely done, we cool them down. And then when we're ready to heat them back up, we smash them and deep fry them. So they're crispy on the outside.
Oh, my
God. They're light and airy and fluffy on the inside. So when you get it right fresh from the kitchen, they're unbelievable.
That's the thing right there. I mean, and the nice thing about the Kettle One Club, too, I know it's, you know, you have to buy your way into it for the year. Some people do. And I would say that.
Or you talk your way into it.
Or in my case, I walk in backwards. I do this thing where I put my clothes on backwards, and then I walk in, and they think I'm walking
out. Excuse me, sir.
The thing about this is that you are able to turn that stuff around. You can get in there and get out of there in 20 minutes or 30 minutes for people who, you know, show up and they want to, you know, want to have dinner and they want to go. It's a great, great, great experience.
Almost 9 years ago, when we walked into the building, that was the number one thing in Kettle One was – people wanted to be out of their seats to hear the national anthem.
Right.
Yeah,
so how can we design? It's been everything from a steakhouse to upscale, maybe bar food, casual, just for that purpose. How can we get someone in, have a great meal, great experience, but they're in their seats for the national anthem?
Right.
So you really achieved that. What about the breadsticks? Is there anything we need to know about?
Oh, that's a homemade pretzel. Oh, so
pretzel.
We make our own homemade pretzels. And we have them in sweets as well. And in sweets, they come with a little cinnamon sugar on them, too, as well.
Oh.
These are just regular standard pretzels with a little beer, cheese, and a little mustard.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and they're delicious.
Let me ask you a question here. You have a proofer? What do you got down there?
Huh?
You make your own bread down there? How are you doing that?
The kitchen's
always
warm.
A secret with him, by the way.
I know, he doesn't tell us.
No,
he always leaves a lot of stuff out.
The kitchen is warm to begin with. So you have that already going for you. But we do have proofing boxes if we have to use them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You doing the green shake again this year for the players? Is that part of the whole regimen?
There is still the green shake. More to come. You know, we're doing some creative things over at Advocate Center. So I'm pretty sure
for
as we transition, and we transition to the new building, we'll even be doing some other cool things. Like the Bulls have this, it's a cup, it's a powder, you add milk to it, and then you hit it under the little gizmo and it makes you frozen yogurt in about 8 minutes.
Oh my gosh, we need one.
And it's all
of those.
Organic. It's the craziest thing. When I saw it, I was like, that's unbelievable.
Hey, speaking of that, tonight for the first watch party, for the Blackhawks, this is the craziest thing ever. If you go to where's the watch party tonight?
We got it right here. It's at 35th Sports Bar and Grill in Berwyn.
Okay, so
tomorrow I think it says for in Berwyn tomorrow. So I don't know if this was it's tonight though.
Tonight,
I think this
tonight,
was pretty
yes.
yesterday.
Yeah. So now, if you go, you're gonna get this. You're gonna get a 16-ounce beer glass. Essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's plastic, though, isn't
it? It's plastic.
It's plastic. Okay, it's plastic.
It's plastic.
And at the bottom, it's got like a red base.
Yeah.
And tell us what happened, Chef.
All right, so the first 100 people that go to the Road Watch receive this cup, whether it's for soda pop or alcoholic beverage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When the Hawks score a goal, this cup will light up on the bottom.
No way.
Red. Like the red. Like the red lamp.
Like the red lamp, yes.
When so you light your lamp.
You light your lamp.
Every time they score a goal.
Yes. You got to be there at the watch party with that cup, and it'll happen. Yeah, if you're
so
in the bar.
Cool.
Yes, because you can see at the bottom, you can see there's something in there.
It looks like a little puck on the bottom, like a red puck.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it just lights up.
Oh, yeah, I wanted one for my office, and whenever it happened, I could know there was a goal.
This
but it doesn't work that far.
No.
Yeah, I tried.
This is a great idea. Why don't they should do these here, too?
You know, next time you talk to someone from the Blackhawks marketing.
Would it kill you to have me be the vendor for this particular item? Wow, that is really, it's a very cool idea.
And they do a great job with the road watches, you know, getting people out to watch the games when they're, you know, on the road and things like that.
I bet.
Yeah.
Blackhawks fans always travel. And
they do.
Anywhere
crazy.
You need to go. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Are you going to get to go outside and get to see the red carpet arrivals today, Chef? Or they got you in the kitchen?
He's cooking.
Once I leave here, I literally got to run
it's
up
go,
to the
go,
kitchen.
Go.
It's go, go, go for the next couple hours. Yeah.
That's what we love about him. That's what we love about
he
Chef
makes time for us.
But he's also never stops working.
I know.
And all the way through the evening.
Some people might disagree with that. But
you're the boss. Every once in a while, you get to take a breather,
it's a different kind of work, I like to tell.
All right. So tonight, the first 100 people who stop by 35 Sports Bar and Grill in Berwyn get a chance for this for the watch party. This is really going to be a lot of fun. Wow.
Yeah.
That is a really cool deal. All right. Well, Chef, thank you so much. Thank you for bringing everything by and just
You're welcome.
Thank you for being born. That's my.
Yeah.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis live from the United Center. The Chicago Blackhawks home opener.
Yes,
sponsored by
indeed.
Sitco. Sitco is a feeling good. Richard Roper is stepping up to the stage here.
Did you walk through the atrium on your way in, Rich? The little funky, no.
No, I did not.
Oh.
Something to behold, the big store over there. Rowan and I did the rounds.
Yep.
Did you walk the red carpet, Richard?
No, I did not. It did none of those. You guys, I came in by drone, as always. A very large drone.
It just appears.
Lens
like,
on the roof
like
right
Jack
here.
Jack Reacher? Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
What do you,
don't be giving away the secrets. We talked about this. We never talk about it in my
helicopter.
Entrances or my exits.
Let me say that the new store in the atrium here.
So cool.
Is really good. It's, you know, 50-50 Blackhawks and
Bulls.
Huh. And there are such cool items that I have not seen anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love that. I love when you go to games and you can get stuff that you can't get even on the online or the official site. I have a question. Maybe Kev would know the answer to this, too. There's a Scottie Pippen. It's a bust. It's a statue, but it goes from his waist up.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
new?
No. That's been here a while.
Have they moved it? Because it's at the main entrance when you're going through today. The fans' main entrance. They have it. They have Scotty.
Oh, that's been there.
Greeting the fans. Maybe I just never come through that way.
And it's
very disconcerting to see half of Scotty. Because it's a great sculpture. We love Scotty, and it's got his real wingspan, but it's cut off at the waist.
Yeah.
So it feels like he's in an episode of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I think the shadow of the Jordan statue is maybe makes it tough.
But it's
to
inside. It's always been there.
No, it's full Jordan, half Scotty.
Yeah, it's half a Scotty, and I feel like it maybe another gate. There's the other half. His long legs.
The pants walking around.
I know he had some rough and tumble matches with the Knicks back in the day, but in the Pistons.
I want to say there's a Johnny Red Kerr bust as well near the Scotty Pippen. Did you see? Did you not see that? Redker? Okay. I'll find them both for you.
I'll get to the bottom of this. I don't like a half of anything.
No.
You know, they got that,
it's
that,
weird.
That Jack Brickhouse statue on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He looks like, you know, like one of those fortune teller statues.
Yes.
Right?
Because
he's like
that was.
Half there, and he's like in a little, and he's in a box, like he's in a booth. It's weird.
Yeah, if you get the right ticket, you'll have a body switching movie, just like at the beginning of Big.
I'm telling you, the only one of those kinds of statues, I think, other than the Jordan, that really works is the Harry Carey at Wrigley Field.
Oh yeah,
because it's
yeah.
him up fully, you know, with holding the microphone down and over,
right?
You know, like the crowd.
No, that's
a
special.
Really cool. Or obviously then. You know, you get your Ernie Banks in the mm-hmm. batting position. And all
I like the full statue. In fact, I like the real Chicago statue, which is not only the full man, rarely a woman, unfortunately, but usually, and a horse. The man on the horse.
We should get
right?
Scotty a horse. You know, and
Scotty Pippen on the horse he rode in on.
Actually, the horse he rode in on was Michael Jordan. So maybe
oh,
you were
hey, that was a thoroughbred.
Burned. We got wow. the cool the Bobby wow. Hall and the Stan Mikita outside the UC. Those are great as well.
Are they full body?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They have some. They have sort of like three dimensional Bobby Hall spitting out a couple of teeth. Like, and they kind of the teeth just sort
just
of float
firing
there.
Pucks. That'd
be a nice interactive around. Exhibit, wouldn't it?
I want to see a Judd Bushler. I want to see a statue
a Luke
Longley? Of you know just Judd Bushler,
okay. Bushler
who's taking care of he's on his phone trying to find Dennis Rodman so he can get to the game. That should be the statue of him.
How come we don't have a Dennis Rodman statue anymore?
The end of the bench.
They do well, in Pyongyang.
Yeah.
Pyongyang.
I was going to say, since he's like the international solver of yeah. world peace.
The end of the bench statue. Jack Haley jumping up with his towel, wearing a suit.
Jack, no,
did not play coach's decision.
Oh, my gosh.
Always the first off the bench because he knew that's where the Marv Albert would be. And a timeout is called. There's Jack Haley jumping, knocking over Phil Jackson to get the camera time.
Wait, was it Jack Haley? Who was the guy that was hired? Was it Bushler or Haley?
Haley was – Bushler actually played a little bit, but Haley was the babysitter for Rod.
Okay, it was
they
Haley.
Him
okay,
in,
Jack Haley.
And
right.
he was almost never in uniform.
He would wear a mock –
beautiful.
Then the
yeah,
mock turtleneck and
mock
the suit.
Turtleneck.
Yeah.
Black patent leather shoes.
Yeah. Beautiful.
All right. Oh, man. Those were some days right there. Those were some days. Well, you know what? We're going to have to make way for Kane and Taves – statues here, though.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
those are coming.
Boy, they need to.
And you just wonder, you know, do they do it like the Chevy commercial where they're in the same statue?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah? Nice. Do they get their own? How do they work that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe right next to the Mikita and Hall because they have been sort of the yeah, leading players of this dynasty right now. So maybe they put them in that area.
Mm. Makes sense.
Wow. It's going to be something. And it all starts tonight. Puck drop at 7:38. We've got the pregame show coming your way at 7 o'clock. And Chris Bowden is going to be hosting the radio show. As
newest
we know,
member of the team.
Judd Surratt, the great Judd Surratt, mm-hmm. has moved on to be the play-by-play announcer for the Boston Bruins, and he just announced that to us 2 days ago when he was on his way to Boston.
And he's calling a game tonight. Game. He's going right into it. I believe they're in Nashville tonight.
Congrats to Judd.
So
but we'll
he
miss
is
him.
So awesome. So awesome. And congratulations
he's,
to him.
He's driving to Boston saying, Yad, Stott,
he's practicing.
Well,
his dialect.
Kana.
Just imagine how that would be an intimidating thing for a guy from Chicago to go do, right? I mean, he's a great broadcaster. He can definitely pull it off.
Oh, no
but
question.
You know, in I mean, it is humbling for an institution like Boston or like the Hawks or mm-hmm. like any of those original six teams.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Via Montreal, either one of the languages. And who the hell can understand either of them up there? I mean, it's
well, you
just,
embrace all the traditions, everything
yeah,
at once.
It's got to be something.
It's going to be cool for him. I'm excited for him.
Binney's Beverage Depot and WGN are teaming up to give you the up-to-date and informative coverage of the drinks world. And you know you need that. Introducing Barrel to Bottle, a new Binney's podcast. Join us each Monday as your host, Kristen Ellis and Jeff Carlin, cover everything from Amarone. Is it Amarone or Amarone? I don't even know the answer.
I don't know. We'll have
to
ask Jeff.
I think it's Amarone. Is it
Amarone?
Amarone or Amarone? Anyway, Jeff is standing right here. He should be able to answer that. He's doing the thing. To the Zombie Dust guest specials, too. There will be a download and subscribe to Barrel to Bottle with Binney's. Search Binney's on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and iTunes for your weekly fix. If you can't find it at Binney's, it's probably not worth drinking. Yep, it's the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here.
Woo!
live at the United Center.
For the Blackhawks home opener against the Pittsburgh Penguins. You are defending Stanley Cup champions. Brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. And look who just stepped up to our broadcast position here at the Goose Island Pub. If you're coming to the game, come by and say hello. We're between section 110 and
11?
I guess. Oh. Sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, right outside the 108 section. That's the most important thing. That's what you need to know. Hey, right now we have got the great Chris Bowden with us, who is now the studio host of WGN's Blackhawks coverage as Judd Surratt goes on. Juddly, as you know, we give everybody a nickname on the show.
So we're working on yours, right. Chris, unless you have one already.
And we give everybody a hockey nickname, except Judd, because we decided that Judly was funny because it annoyed him.
Great. Judly.
Now I'm going to see if I can
Rotzy, I don't know. That probably.
Bodzi?
Rotzy.
Rotzy?
Sirotzy.
Oh, Sirotzy. Oh, for him. Yeah.
But what about you? Do you have one already built in? Do you come prepared with
I've had Bodes before. Bodes before. Yeah.
Oh, Seabodes. Interesting.
Seabodes.
Because I'm just trying to think now. I just want to hear in a post-game press conference, I want to hear Jonathan Toews saying it in my own inner ear.
Yeah.
You know
how Seabodes like, would be
Seabodes
the one.
Seabodes would be the, yeah.
Seabodes. So
they called a great game. Seabodes was all over with the studio analysis.
That's kind of what
the reason it was Seabodes, because there was another Chris at a place I previously worked at eons ago. He was C-Matt. It was C-Matt and Seabodes. C-Matt. Chris Mattson and Chris Bowden.
So Boater? Yeah. I
like Boater.
I almost...
No, I don't like that one. Because if people have a little bit of trouble with the reception, it sounds... It doesn't sound right. Don't do that.
Boater approval?
Yeah.
Like that. You got to be careful.
It doesn't sound good. It sounds like an outtake from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Seabodes.
Richard is the only, he's the only person on the committee, so he's going to have the only vote here. So you better...
It'll be on the business cards,
If you want a good name, you better check with Richard.
That's true. All right. Fellow Southside.
That's right.
So welcome to the family.
Thank you so much
for doing this.
To be here.
Well,
excellent. To be here.
And obviously, you know, you've been covering sports in this town for many, many years and very, very well.
The gray hairs, the wrinkles, the bags to show for it.
Right, the broken dreams.
That's right.
Crying
myself to sleep.
Yeah. we all know how it goes, but this is a great organization to be with because, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks, obviously world class. I mean, you know, right? Vladimir Putin worries about whether the Blackhawks are going to win or lose games. That's how we know. This is a big, 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 big deal. And the one thing about this year, this team is in, I think it's a transition moment. It's a pivot moment here because 2 years now in a row they've gone out in the first round of the playoffs. Last year, ignominiously by not winning a single game in the playoffs.
Right.
After having a really solid, good to great regular season.
And I think the thing to remember, actually I kind of think that almost last year may have been even more of a transition year with the amount of kids, the rookies they've incorporated into the roster. And regular season, it worked great. Well, guess what, kids? When you get to the playoffs, it's a whole different animal. Yeah. And I think that's where they may have been caught a little bit short from an inexperienced standpoint. Now you have Ryan Hartman and Tanner Carroll, guys they're going to be relying on from this point forward, who have that year under their belts, who have that playoff know-how. And, yeah, there's still a couple of kids they're trying to incorporate into the mix, but you know, some of these others they're trying to work in now have, if not a full regular season under their belt, they know what it's going to take right now.
Right.
So the important thing here, especially as they start out with just a brutal schedule, I think the first eight opponents all averaged over 100 points last season. So they're going to have to be ready and get off to a good start. Not that they wouldn't be capable of making up some ground, but with the caliber of opponents that they have starting tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're going to have to get some chemistry and mesh pretty quickly here.
And as Pittsburgh lost last night in their home opener, you know, and it's a banner raising ceremony, and we see that in sports all the time. You've seen that happen to the Hawks.
You lose a little focus sometimes.
2 years ago, you saw it. 3 years ago. You saw it happen to the, you know, Anna's beloved New England Patriots.
New England Patriots, but they did lose in a stunner first game.
But and it was overtime too. But they're coming in here, they're flying in, and you know they're going to be hungry tonight.
Yep, and you know you talk about how difficult the competition is for the Blackhawks. What was the team that beat them last night? A team in the Central Division that a lot of people think isn't going to be good enough to make the playoffs this season. Right. So that's how competitive this is going to be. You don't want to fall too far behind the eight ball. But, yeah, two teams here that have won six, combined to win six of the last nine Stanley Cups meeting on the ice tonight. And
that's pretty. That's a pretty great statistic right there.
That's unbelievable. And there's probably a little bit of jealousy. They won't come out and admit it on the Blackhawks' part. But the Penguins were able to do, repeat what they weren't able to do during their great run. And so there's been a little bar set a little bit higher and maybe a little chip on the Blackhawks' shoulder tonight.
I hope so.
Chris, I loved what Jonathan Toews said about that. He said, you know, the Penguins now have three cups in the same period of time. It's not so special anymore, and they've done it back-to-back. So if anything, they've got a leg up on being the team of this era, and it makes them a little more hungry. And I love that Toews is looking at it that way. Big picture, not just, you know, game by game, but really what their legacy is going to be.
Yeah, and if you remember, the Penguins were getting ripped for a long time after they won that cup in 2009. They had some high expectations in the years that followed, and they kept falling short. And the conversation went to, okay, well, would you rather have Jonathan Toews to start building a team from rather than Sidney Crosby? And now all of a sudden Pittsburgh's, you know, gathered itself over the last couple of years and been able to get those back-to-back cups. So it's an interesting storyline to start things out so far this season, and it's going to be fun to watch here tonight.
You got Saad and Sharp, people excited to see them on the red carpet tonight and, of course, in the game as well. And then you've got four rookies on the team. Like, talk about how this team is gelling. What do you expect from – you know, seeing some of the veterans come back and then some new guys out there.
From that aspect, it's going to be a little bit more interesting and maybe work in the Blackhawks' favor that a couple of guys are back who know what it's like to win a Stanley Cup. Sharp was there for all three. Brandon Saad for the last two. And I think, you know, that familiarity is going to help, especially here at the outset, as, you know, you try and feel out what you have on your team here, different line combinations, different defensive pairings. And I think that familiarity that they didn't have last season when they had even, you know, more rookies than they have right now to start out the season, it ended up being fairly well. You know, the second best regular season this franchise has ever had to finish off, and you went into the playoffs with high hopes, and then all of a sudden a team gets hot at the right time in Nashville, and this Pittsburgh team was the only one that ended up knocking off Nashville last year.
It is interesting, too, because you've got, you know, the Toews line seems to be coming together a little bit, and now whereas you were able to get Patrick Kane, line mates that he really, really gelled with. Mm-hmm. Now there's a question again about who's he going to have that he's going to be looking at. And obviously Panarin, you know, was an amazingly great hockey player. And really a perfect line mate, I think, for Patrick Kane. But he now has to rebuild.
They got to the point where they knew where each other was on the ice automatically. So now Jonathan Toews has had a couple of down statistical years. The addition of Saad is going to help his line. Now it's a matter of who's going to fit in on that other wing with Patrick Kane and Nick Schmaltz. Those two combined have a whole bunch of skill to put together. How are they going to round that out? Whether it's the 19-year-old kid, Alex DeBrincat, or they want to get some size on that line like they're doing right now, at least it appears as though with Ryan Hartman, to get some grit and some protection for those two.
Let's get to that for a second. Yeah. So one of the things I've noticed about, especially in the playoffs, you know, a team like Nashville just kicked it up, right, in the playoffs last year, and they became far more physical. And you see, and the Hawks have run through this championship stretch by being a finesse team, not necessarily being the most physical team. They've had guys, right, that are, you know, getting ready to scrap, but they're not one of those teams known for that. And really, you know, Nashville took it to them in that way. And I think it's one of those moments where, again, a transition in the NHL where you do need more of that grit. It's old-time American hockey here.
Yeah, and I think all the stars aligned for Nashville at the right time last spring, because they actually just squeaked into the playoffs as the second wild card. But sometimes there's that attitude. If you go up against a team that had to scratch and claw to get in the playoffs and playing well with some urgency, they carry that over right away. I'm not saying the Blackhawks, you know, took their foot off the pedal at all, but I think that factored in. And you mentioned some of the additions here, the way Nashville played last year. Their top four defensemen rate with anybody in the NHL. Yeah. They head into the season with only those guys lost. Ryan Ellis through at least the first portion of the season after the first of the year. But they had it all come together at the right time, and I think what Stan Bowman has done, he's strengthened the depth at the forward position, getting the kind of players that he would want to round out those third and fourth lines. Now it's a matter of some of these young guys on defense Joel Quenneville wants to have a little bit more speed, a little bit more acceleration through the middle of the ice than he saw in that series against Nashville last year. Now it's getting those young guys acclimated. And it's going to take some time, ups and downs through the course of the season. The object is to have them peaking at the right time in March and April.
And do remember this. Remember that, Chris, now that you're part of the WGN and Chicago Blackhawks family, Chris Bowden, I want you to remember this. Withstand, we can.
Withstand, we can.
That is our, we made him that T-shirt, and he wears it. He wears it to bed every night.
He loves it. He told us he wears it all the time. Okay. We've never seen him in it,
really,
but that's
soft
what he said.
Now, because he's
first,
washed it.
First interview I get with him now here with WG. I'm going to ask him that question.
Withstand, we can.
Yes.
Ask him like a question.
Do you need a new one yet? Is it worn out? Has it been through the wash too many times?
Probably it has by now.
Yeah, sure.
It's got holes in it. You know, the neck's all stretched out. You get the night sweats every once in a while. It's never good. Hey. All right, well, welcome aboard. Hear you tonight, starting right after our program at 7 o'clock. It's the pregame show. Chris is hosting it, of course. You got the great Troy Murray, who that's a guy who talks hockey like nobody else. You have to understand hockey to sometimes understand these guys, right?
But he still puts it in layman's terms. And, yeah, all my job's easy working with those two guys. You just tee them up, let them talk, and just douse everyone with knowledge out there.
Yeah, they are great. But again, I know that you've covered hockey, you know, throughout your career, Chris. But it is. I have learned you must learn how. It's not English. It's not American English. It's not Canadian English. It's hockey. It's a totally separate language. Right.
That's what it's all about.
Use that a lot.
That's what it's all about.
And you're in the organization, and you're in the building in the organization.
If I do that, everything will be outstanding.
Yes. That's how you go.
They'll love that.
Chris Bowden, you'll hear him tonight.
Yes.
At 7 o'clock right here on 720 WGN, Chicago Blackhawks. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis live from the United Center. We're getting ready for Chicago Blackhawks as they take on Pittsburgh Penguins tonight.
Defending Stanley Cup champions.
7:38 puck drop, by the way, in case anybody is interested in the exact minute. That's 7:30, but we know 7:30.
Well, you do want to be here for that.
National anthem,
of course.
Right. And it's always something here at the United Center. Always something. All right. Hey, Richard Roper is with us. We're also going to be premiering a new game, a Blackhawks game.
Cool.
Coming up at 5:40 that you, the WGN listener, can take part in.
Oh,
and you can win fabulous prizes.
Awesome.
It's really going to be fun.
Is it a difficult game?
It's not an easy game.
No. One everyone can play, but not really win.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Well, they can play. They'll win more than we will win. They're taking us on.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know what? It's a little complicated. This was devised by the gaming division of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. And it's, gaming division is a relatively new enterprise for us.
Yeah.
And
we've had some hits and misses.
Yes.
And is this going to be like news or ruse, like hawks or not hawks? You know, the name players will have to say if they ever were on the hawks.
Well, it's
sort of an actual species of hawk.
You know, they were so excited when they had a hit with news or ruse that now they've decided to branch out and do some other things. And, you know, some things are, Seacrest hasn't always had hits, right?
Sure.
You know, some of those things failed. I don't know which ones, but I'm sure something did.
Somewhere in there.
So we're kind of in that, too. As we're designing new programming here. So we'll try it, and we'll see how it goes.
See how it goes. I like that plan.
Boy.
All right.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Sounds like a finely honed, precise machine you've got ready to go here.
We really teased that well.
See, what had happened was we designed this, but it's got a lot of rules.
You got to play by the rules.
Yeah. Because our gaming division came from Massachusetts Institute of Technology, that is a problem.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Very thorough.
Or it's actually from Jeff, who went to space camp. So it's like
he's super bright, and sometimes we're not all up to his speed on things.
Is there a replay office in New York that's going to listen to the audio and make final decisions, too? It's going to be one of those?
It's very complicated.
After further review, the ruling in the station stands. Freddie from Addison has won.
It's going to be a lot like that. Well, it's funny because there is actually a codicil in it that if we screw it up, the winner is always the listener if we make any mistakes.
Okay.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
Something like that. Well, I guess that's the way it has to be. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN, live in the United Center. Blackhawks home opener brought to you by Citgo. Citgo's feeling good.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Pretty exciting. Red carpet is rolling.
That's true. And Richard Roper is here with us. And Violetta Petromedic is here with us.
She's dancing.
And we also have, and our own Kevin Powell is on the red carpet right now as the Blackhawks are about to come out. We're gonna work this the top five and Kevin in simultaneously here. Mm-hmm. He is standing by as the Chicago Blackhawks are arriving to go into the dressing room to pad up for
tonight's. He's so fancy.
Yeah, I know.
On the red carpet, wow.
So what's happening out there, Kev?
Well, Jonathan Toews is walking across the stage right now, and everybody's going nuts. Now, the leader in the clubhouse for me in terms of how well they're dressed, Brandon Saad looking real sharp tonight. Sort of a gray, kind of a plaid look, little fall, you know, working the autumn look in there. And after my extensive hockey fashion research, I found that the hockey players are big into the boss now. Boss.
Hugo Boss. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, rocking the skinny
good
ties.
Good intel.
Doing the skinny suits, et cetera. Fans line the street here on Madison. A ton of fans. They have sort of a pop-up bar, like a Budweiser bar. That's pretty cool. So they've got fans there, but they're all sort of just walking across the stage, and I'm judging all of them with what they're
good.
You know, with
you're
how they're
judging
dressing.
The. I like Kevin judging their sartorial splendidness. That's a beautiful concept right there.
Let us know how Patrick Sharp looks, okay?
Just, I will.
Just for
I'll
a friend.
You know. But as I said, Brandon Saad, the leader in the clubhouse right now.
Okay.
That's great. Say hi to Juliana for us on the red carpet.
Is there a mani cam or a pedi cam like they have on E, you know, for the Oscars and everything?
Where God, I hope not.
It's a tooth implant cam. dental implant
Let's see
cam.
Your teeth. Bring them up here.
So Kev will be like Ryan Seacrest. Can you head over to our dental implant cam? Just take them out real fast.
Those are beautiful.
And you have to guess whose are whose.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I'd pay to see that.
Yeah. And what's Taser wearing?
Taser had just your basic kind of Captain Serious look. I believe it was a dark navy blue, white shirt, and once again a skinny tie.
Captain Serious. He is Captain Serious. Right.
He's lighting a little bit up over the past few years, but he went with that strong, bold, dark navy blue look. I liked it. I think it works for the captain.
Right.
Offset by that $9 haircut.
You know, he's the kind of guy. $9.
Well, he tips five.
It's five at Nick and Betty's.
I will say this though. He's the kind of guy that would play if you were casting a movie, he'd be the aggressive prosecutor. In the film, right? The young guy who's just decided he's earnest and he wants to do the right thing, and he's going to make sure that the bad guy goes down.
Uh-huh.
That's him. Very intense. All right, we'll check back with you.
All right, guys.
Yeah, try to be a little less interested. All right, here we go. This is the most important part of the day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is.
It's our favorite
time
of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The top five at five on the Rocon Show, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
It's the top five on the Rocon Show. Let's go!
And I have the extra large premium chef's cutting board made from the finest American maple wood. Crafted in the USA, exclusively for the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom, valued at $100. Experience the Edge at Builder Supply Outlet on Cermak Road at 25th Avenue in Broadview. And now the newest location of the Edge in Orland Park to
very
the
nice.
19th caller, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And that is, of course, for our captain, Captain Serious,
Jonathan
Taves.
Good luck.
Right? You don't want to mess with Jonathan Taves.
No.
He's got that look. He's got that intensity thing.
He's looking through you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you feel.
Right. A little bit like he's got a little bit like if you were the right size, I would eat you.
Yeah. Well, you guys have had him on the show a couple times. Like, I'll crack a joke and he'll just go, "That's funny."
I know.
He's one of those guys. He's not being mean. He's oh, no, that's funny.
No, right. I know. You're right.
He could play Jason Bourne. You know, if Jason Bourne were Canadian, it would be Jonathan Taves. Maybe just do it. They'll just do a thing called. John Taser.
Taser. I'd watch that.
A new character. I like the idea of that. All right, here we go. Checking in at
number five.
Former Secretary of State, Senator, and First Lady. Let's see, who could we be talking about?
Mm.
Oh, it's Hillary Clinton. She was on Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show. Well, she was on The Tonight Show. She wasn't actually on Jimmy Fallon. She discussed a number of things, including her new book, What Happened? I'll tell you what happened.
Right.
That would be the name of my book. I'll tell you what happened.
Instead of what had happened was, which I think would be better for you.
And also her book, It Takes a Village. And then she wanted to take on the gun issue in Republicans.
One of the first things that, you know, Trump signed as president was to reverse President Obama's order that people with serious mental health problems should not be able to buy guns. And so he signed it. And aren't you happy that people we already know who have mental health problems can now buy guns? I mean, this makes no sense. And the vast majority of Americans and the vast majority of gun owners know we need common sense gun safety measures.
Now, I she also would
funny
be
about that.
She would be the prosecutor's boss in that movie that I'm casting with
Jonathan Taves.
With Jonathan Taves, he'd be the prosecutor, and he'd have to go to her office where she'd be giving him, you know, what to.
Well, it seems like common sense is actually ruling here because it feels like Republicans are coming on board, and even the NRA is on those bump stocks after a lot of people who were unaware of them, including myself, suddenly said, "Wait a minute, should that be okay?"
Yep.
Potentially take another look at that.
Well, that's at least it's under consideration.
Start.
Yeah. All right. Well, there she is. She's as relaxing as ever to listen to. All right. Paul Ryan was in an interview today with Hugh Hewitt and said that he is willing to consider a ban on the bump stock.
John Cornyn has said he wants to have hearings on bump stocks, open to a vote. Are you open to a vote on bump stocks?
Yeah. Look, I didn't even know what they were until this week, and I'm an avid sportsman, so I think we're quickly coming up to speed with what this is. Fully automatic weapons have been banned for a long time. Apparently, this allows you to take a semi-automatic, turn it into fully automatic, so clearly that's something we need to look into.
You know, I love guys like that. He is truly a politician because I'm an avid sportsman.
Of course.
Can't say I'm a hunter anymore. You have to say I'm an avid sportsman.
Yeah.
In other words, I like to blow Bambi's head off, but I can't
sportsman.
Actually say
what
that.
What sport is that?
Yeah.
Archery.
What exactly are you sporting right now?
Yeah, what are the deer armed with? And that's sporting competition.
Yeah, right.
A head start.
Right. A little bit of distance and maybe some antlers, but that's about it.
That's all they got.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I don't know what it's the best we could possibly offer there. All right. Checking in at
number four.
Oh, boy. Ivana Trump.
You teased this audio earlier. This is pretty big.
Yeah. You know, she is the first wife of Donald Trump. I think people.
Mother of the older kids. The Ivankas.
The ones
Don,
he favors.
Eric. They tried to cut Tiffany out of the will, apparently, but that didn't work out.
Did they really?
Can you blame them? Stories about that.
There
were some movements in that direction.
That's why she had to go in her own limo at every single event. Like Don Jr. or Donnie, I guess as they call him. Donnie, Eric, and Ivanka all go in one, and then they put her in the other one by herself.
They say if you want to get the president to ignore something, call a Tiffany.
Oh.
But how's little Damien doing?
Oh, hey. No, what, no.
No, what's his name?
Oh, no.
No, we don't touch
Darren. No.
What's his name? I can't remember his name.
He's 11.
I'm not making fun of the kid. What's his name? I can't remember his name.
Baron.
Yes. Sounds just like a Baron. It's good enough. All right. Ivana, here she is, she was offered the ambassadorship to the Czech Republic because that's where Donald Trump grows his wives. Right, that's where he farms them there.
Oh gosh,
there's a whole breeding operation there, and they have it, and they
a whole colony of
there's a colony of potential next wives for him.
Wow,
that's near your people, isn't it, Violetta? Close by or no?
Yeah, I don't think my people can handle the stress though, and they've been through a lot.
They have been through a lot.
You're talking about your immediate family has been through a lot with you.
Yeah, right.
Just means the Serbians. They're sick and tired of it. But believe me, there will be no statues to Bill Clinton in Serbia, right? That is true. That is true, is it not? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when
any Clinton for that matter.
Right. So that's what Donald Trump. That's why Donald Trump's a big hit there.
Huge.
Yeah. Right. But and also because I've increased the gross domestic product by marrying many, many, many women from the area. Anyway, the point here is this. There was an interview that was done with Sunday Morning on the CBS with Jim Axelrod.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to air this Sunday, as a matter of fact.
Sneak peek.
So they're giving us they're leaking some of the audio to tease us about what Ivana has to say. And what's interesting here is that she acknowledges that she has actually talked to the president once a week.
Hmm. Ooh.
And that he asks her for advice.
Wow.
Oh.
Including on his usage of Twitter.
Is he still a big part of your life?
Yeah, he is.
In what way?
Barbie, we speak to each other.
How often?
Yeah, maybe once a week.
He asks for your advice.
And he's still asking me for advice, yes.
What will he ask you your advice about?
He asked me about, should I tweet, should I not tweet, you know?
He asked you, should he tweet?
Yeah.
And what have you told him?
I said, I think you should tweet.
Wow. I tell him Green Acres is the place to be.
Let me also tell you something. When are you going to get rid of that she-wolf with your marital mouth?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. Yeah, how does Melania feel about all this?
Right.
Oh, maybe, you know what? I think Melania is finding out for the first time right about now.
Yeah.
This is another reason that she... there are three reasons.
Is that healthy?
She does not smile at the president, and two of them are medical reasons, but one is definitely because she's very upset.
Well, actually, she probably wants to be three or four times a week so that he stops talking to her.
Yeah.
He's like, can you call more often?
But does that ever work? You talk to the ex-wife once a week while you're married? Does that work?
I have the best ex-wives.
Oh, wait a second. Let me tell you something. Is that true? She's lying. Imagine when, Melania walking
this
in the room
cause some problems.
Right, and going, hey, did I just hear that you are talking to Ivana once a week? Maybe you want to marry her again. That would be fine. I will take boy. We will go back to Slovenia.
And I tell you not to tweet.
Right. I tell you not to tweet. She tells you to tweet. Do you think this is a really good idea? Because I do not think this is such a good idea.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yes. Wow. She's got her guy to go back to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Guy on the side.
Yeah. And she's telling him to tweet. Maybe you should tweet more. We could have an accent off between the two.
Oh, my
gosh. I mean,
gosh.
This is really... If, I swear to God, it would just be the most amazing thing if you could just... If Donald Trump were a Democrat, would he have had... It, with this resume.
Amazing.
Is this? I mean, imagine how Breitbart would have treated him if it went the other way.
This is the American dream.
He's American dream. Twice over, yes. Well, it is. I mean, he personally, and this is funny, he doesn't want immigrants, right? I mean, unless he's married to them.
This week on Chicago's Best, it's all about Madison Street, that is. From east to west, CB is covering the best of Madison Street. Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
And the Rokon Show with WGN 720, WGN Chicago, is being brought to you today at the Blackhawks home opener by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. Richard Roper is with us. The top five at five is about to occur. Tony O is going to join us coming up this hour as well. We got so much to get to here.
Yep.
We're going to try to explain the rules of our new Blackhawks game to Tony O and see what happens.
Oh, geez.
Does it take longer to explain the rules than it does to play the game?
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but we're gonna try it anyway.
We'll work through it.
All right, we're in the top five of five. We're up to
number three.
Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins says Cam Newton has two choices.
Uh oh.
And Shut Up is not one of them, which is really kind of interesting. It either get used to a world where women know about football, or get left behind with the rest of the cavemen. She said.
Ooh. Wow. That's nice, nice, nice.
Now, of course, you remember what he said to the female reporter yesterday?
Mm-hmm. I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck-sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But
It's funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Can I ask a question? Because I'm dumb, but I don't quite understand. It's dismissive and condescending.
Yeah.
We get that part.
Yeah.
But where was he going with that? Is he doing the driving thing, or is he just doing women don't know anything about football? Rich, what's your thought on
that? I think he's doing don't know anything about football.
Okay.
Like, how cute.
But it can't be the first female reporter to ask him a question, right?
She's a beat reporter there. She's there every week, every day.
He's been in the game for a while, so, I mean, just dumb.
Doesn't help. Well, here is Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins telling TMZ that it's time for Cam to rethink things.
I think it's a changing world, and it takes people time to get used to the fact that, like, you know, there's so many things like that have changed. That something's associated with one type of person and not another. It's always changing. Everybody has to catch up, or they get left behind, and that's the way it goes.
What would you tell Cam Newton?
I don't know. Nothing. No. I would just, you know, everybody has to get used to change.
OK, Okay.
Catch up, Cam.
No, it's funny.
By the way, 2017.
By the way, just in case you're wondering, Wonder Woman available now on DVD,
yes, that's right.
Blu-ray, and on demand. So just in case, that's why she is commenting on this.
It's funny to me.
She was asked about it.
Funny to me to hear a female director.
I know. What are we
talking about? Louts.
Like him. Oh, man.
She's scouting locations for Wonder Woman 2 as we speak.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And that was like a huge hit.
Yes. Yes. And Patty got about $1 million for WW1. She's getting about 20 times that to do the sequel.
Good for her.
That's funny to Cam. He thinks that's funny that she'd be directing a film.
Women can make money?
Women can direct films?
And direct movies where there's action?
Be sports reporters?
Funny.
And
to
by
me.
The way, did you see that Cam Newton already lost his Oikos endorsement?
He did.
And that was a big one. It was a national television
Yikes.
Campaign.
Yeah, his yogurt.
I thought it was really weird. And Oikos changed their packaging to fit the black and blue scheme of the Carolina Panthers.
Boy, that's going to be expensive to unmarket that. You called it yesterday, Ro. You said you have endorsements to protect. Don't you know what you're stumbling into here?
And do you think that maybe the chief consumer of yogurt is a woman? Yes.
Yeah.
Potentially,
right?
Yes.
It's like, I think, 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not exactly the smartest move.
He needs to hire Gloria Allred, stand next to her.
Yeah, she'll help.
Conference.
She'll fix this.
She'll yell something. Exactly.
Something.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he needs. Yeah. All right. Checking in at
number 2.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees were announced today for the 2018 class. 19 nominees in all from different musical genres, but they include LL Cool J.
I was giggling about the games that I had played with many hearts, and I'm not saying no names. Then the thought occurred.
And then, now this is interesting, Judas Priest.
I've had every promise broken, this anger in my heart.
Yeah. When you think of it's interesting, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because you do get a very wide variety here. Maybe Radiohead.
But I'm a creep.
About that,
that's
well deserving. Mm-hmm. And Tom Morello's Rage Against the Machine.
Now you do what they taught you. Now you do what they taught you. Now you do what they taught you.
How about that?
Now you do what they taught you.
It's interesting. It is really. It's a fascinating institution.
It
the
is.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so did the Eurythmics, by the way.
Ooh, why? I can't believe
Moody
they're not
Blues are up too. For the I think Moody Blues are finally nominated. You'd think they'd been in there for 20 years?
But right,
it happens, doesn't it? The Eurythmics, I would have thought, were already in there.
But the guy who sang "The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance" got in real early on.
Mm-hmm.
odd like criteria for some of these.
It is very
things,
odd,
like, you know.
But then you got your Annie Lennox though now. You know, finally, Annie Lennox Fruchtman who now goes by that name. And it's sort of like, you're like.
It's like John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah.
He added that. It didn't make sense.
Just because you married a guy named Fruchtman, which, by the way, was not the best move ever.
Oh.
Annie Lennox sounds so cool.
Yeah. All right. And finally, now, checking in at
number 1.
I think Richard's really going to enjoy this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford are out promoting the Blade Runner 2049 film, which is opening tonight, right? Around midnight shows tonight?
Absolutely.
Around the planet Earth. And Richard will have a full review tomorrow. We were going to do a little mini review today if we get a chance.
Sure.
But they're out promoting this film. And Harrison Ford is a very tough interview. I think anybody who's ever tried to interview him, I know you have a number of times. He's not a giver in the interview. He's like one of those artsy artists. You're never quite sure what you're getting with him.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
He's not.
It always seems like, why are you asking me questions? Like, well, because we're sitting on a set with cameras and microphones,
and you're promoting a film.
Why
for you?
Me that kid? I don't know. I was in a movie with a Wookiee thingy. I don't know what he was.
So they were on a British television show this morning, and they were talking about Blade Runner 2049. And the host, Alison Hammond, admitted that she'd never seen the original film. And then, apparently, that really cracked up these two.
Well, there's so much secrecy around this new film. What can you tell me about it? Obviously, you've told me that it's... you having a drink?
I think it's... I feel like that's what this...
That's where this is headed.
Harrison, when you got that call to say, listen, we're making another Blade Runner and we want you to be in it, what was your reaction?
So what?
No. In theory.
No. Help yourselves. I notice there's nothing left for me.
She's wrong.
Billy said, would you be interested? I said,
how much?
Show me the money.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
The
was
drinking
she drunk
morning
too?
Show.
Yeah.
Wow. Drunk morning show.
That's all right. That is the Kathy Lee Gifford of Britain.
Jeez,
right
there. Putting in that big show prep. Going to interview the two stars of the Blade Runner sequel. She can't put in the 2 hours to download the original.
Let's kind of watch the film.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. What's it about?
Although he still probably would have been just as hostile.
That's so rare for a morning television host not to do preparation.
It never happens. Hmm. Never happens.
Yeah. All right. You know what it's time for. Tony O is waiting for us. We're going to get to him. We'll also find out from Richard Roper whether Blade Runner 2049 is worth all the giggles that those guys were sharing. I don't think things are going well in the publicity tour, though, it appears. Also coming up on the program, too, Brian Bickle is going to join us. Bix is going to be here. So it's going to be very, very, very fun. Stay right here. Let's wrap this thing up.
The Top 5 at 5.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN.
Is this the part of the show where we're going to play this brand new game?
Yes. Let me tell you about it, though, first, because we are live at the United Center as we get ready for the Blackhawks home opener against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And it's sponsored by Citgo. Citgo is fueling good.
Nice.
Okay. All right, now here's the okay.
It sounds like it's gonna be complicated.
All right,
it's gonna be like algebra class or something.
All right, we need the 19th caller, 312-981-7200. 19th caller, 312-981-7200. It would be helpful if you had Hawks knowledge here for this game. Because this is a brand new game that we are trying here, and it's called Blackhawks Pick'em.
Okay.
Blackhawks Pick'em.
Okay.
And the rules are such that between those of us on this program, and this is a roster size. We're getting like Cochran-esque numbers in terms of people on the show. Now, right? When you walk into the Cochran studio, it's like walking into the United Center. There's that many
party.
People on the show, right? So we have six players here.
Wow.
All right. We have our contestant, and we have me and Anna, and we have Richard Roper, and we have Kevin Powell, and we have Violetta Pidermedic, and we're all playing.
Expert.
And everybody, here are the rules. Here are the rules.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to read you the rules right now because these are good.
Okay.
Gosh, that's a lot of rules you got in front of you there.
One contestant on game days will have to pick three of their favorite Blackhawk players. Mm-hmm. And if those players combine for more goals and assists than the other players' selections, the other cast members' selections here, made by the members of the show, then they win. In other words, the contestant wins.
So it's all about scoring. If your guys score more.
Yeah, more points.
We can't pick the three they pick. You can't pick the same guys.
No. As a matter of fact, and it goes in this order.
Draft. Okay.
There are the 18 today. 18 players will be picked.
Okay.
There are 25 on the active roster.
Do we have enough time for this?
No. Now 312-981-7200. We have the contestant here.
Okay.
So I want the contestant to be able to understand the rules because I want to read them as well. $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's is the win here.
All right.
Although, my God, I think that for this amount of work, it should be twice that, but we'll see. I'm going to work on that.
Okay.
All right.
Just out of the gates. You can't be big yet.
No. No, because this could be the inaugural and final voyage, like the Titanic of radio game shows. Or it could be the fastest growing radio game show since
News
and Ruse. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Started.
All right. Here is Joe. He is our 19th caller.
Good luck, Joe.
Joe, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Now, Joe, you a Blackhawks fan, are you, sir?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Perfect.
Okay, good. All right, good. Cause
this is going well.
This will actually help you. This is the first step in recovery. Okay, here we go. Here's the thing. I need you to choose three Blackhawks from the roster, any three Blackhawks you'd like, and then if your three Blackhawks score more points today in goals and assists than ours,
then you win the Lou Malnati's gift card.
All right.
All right? Okay.
Sounds good. Right,
yeah, sounds good. All right, choose your three, please.
I'm going to go with Patrick Kane,
never
Brandon Saad, and Duncan Keith.
Ooh.
Okay. Oh, Duncan Keith. Interesting. Huh. Interesting.
For the assist.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
I hear
very well played.
I hear you. Okay. All right, so that means I'm going to go with this is great. I'm going to go. Wait, where's Duncan Keith on this?
Where's Duncan Keith? On this list? Oh, there he is, way
number
down
11.
Here, under
number
there.
Two.
Yeah.
Okay,
this
I
is
got
very
it.
Challenging.
Nice, these,
number two.
Not the list that we have. Okay.
There you go.
Got it. All right. I am going with. Well, then, you know, you left Jonathan Toews open.
Oh.
You actually left the centers open. I don't know why you did that. I'm going to go with Jonathan Toews.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Nick Schmaltz because I just love his
Schmaltzy.
Name.
Schmaltzy.
Schmaltzy. And I'm going with. I have a feeling here. I just have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with Tomas Jurco.
Wow.
Jurco.
Yeah, Jurco. I like Jurco better.
Jurco sounds more fun.
Okay, my turn.
Yes, it's your turn, Adam. This is going to go great.
I'm going to go Anisimov.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to get the rookie DeBrincat.
Oh, yeah, that's a good choice.
Okay, thank you. And then Jurco's already taken.
I don't know if
Jurco.
Is Jurco even playing tonight? I don't think
that doesn't matter. Okay. We've decided. You don't even have to be in uniform.
And you know what? I'm going to get Patrick Sharp because I like him.
Jeez. Have you guys left Captain Sirius out there?
Although he didn't do well last year.
Okay,
that doesn't matter. I already know who I want. Are you ready?
Okay, here we go.
I'm going a little crazy with this, but I got a theory. I'm going to go with Jean-François Berube. Corey Crawford and Anton Forsberg. I'm taking the goalies.
That's bold. Bold strategy.
I tell you what, I just looked it up. Tony Esposito, among his many other accomplishments, had 25 assists in his career. Can
Did
you believe that?
Really?
25 assists.
But that's
of course,
Tony
that's like
o.
a 20-year career, but still.
You're talking about one game, right? Is this one game?
This is one game, yeah.
I
not for the
I
whole
picked
season.
Three centers in my NFL fantasy draft. I'm not doing that well on that either.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got a long snapper.
Does the long snapper get the 3 points or no?
No.
No. All right. Well, that didn't work out for you, did it?
And I got a bench coach on my baseball fantasy team. If it ever clicks, I'll win for sure. Kev, I left you a couple now.
Yeah, what do you got, Kev? Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go Alex DeBrincat.
No, he's already taken.
Chosen.
Oh, boy.
Chosen.
Okay.
Okay, Jesus. We can't even get this part right.
Do we have Anisimov? Is he over? Is he
my chosen.
Are you
chosen.
Paying attention?
No, I'm not. You've
Are you just recapping all the players
minutes.
That have
oh
already been
gosh.
Picked?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I'll go.
These millennial attention
here.
Spans.
All right, I'll go Seabrook, Murphy, and Forsling.
Okay. You have no chance.
Those are defense.
I have about the same chance you do.
I'm pretty sure all the offensemen are
Hartman's still open in panic.
That's all right.
All right.
That's good.
All right. And Violetta, here
okay,
you go.
This is hard to even read all their names.
Because it's in English? Why?
I don't know. They
it's,
all have
it's not
names.
Even in English. This should, some of this should be right up your alley.
All right. I'm going with the left wing, Brandon Saad.
It's already taken.
It's already taken.
Dang it.
That's an easy
wow.
last name. Okay.
Hold on. Didn't I tell you earlier that you had to, mark off the ones that we were taking?
I picked all the ones I wanted already.
Yeah, but that's how that works.
Oh,
all
my
right.
gosh.
So, listen, I'm going with right wing Richard Panik.
Okay.
Cody Franson.
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 Wow.
Kranzer.
Franser. And, I don't know.
All I want to say, Joe, is you're going to win this thing going away.
Jan Ruda.
Joe's like 25
John
bucks.
Rada?
Here I come.
Ruda?
Jan Ruda?
Jan
Ruda? Okay. All right. Jan Rado? Is Jan Rado here?
What's
Where's
his
Jan?
Hockey name?
I don't
Ruta.
Know.
Jan Ruta.
Jan Ruta. He's Roots.
Rooters.
Janer.
Rooters.
Ace. I'm going
Rooters.
Sorry, we screwed Number up 44. This game, bro. Sorry. We screwed it up over here.
All right, I'm sweating
Joe.
Over here.
Joe, I'm,
so
Joe I'm getting you your $25 gift certificate right now.
You might as well present it
yeah.
in advance.
I mean, this wasn't even worth $25 right now, I got to tell you. This phone call cost you more, and I don't know, you lost. You know what you the loss of the enjoyment of living alone. You know, I've got lawyers who could get you at least $25 for that.
15
for the
minutes
last
of your life, you'll never get
minutes.
Back.
Yeah, for sure.
I just learned how to read, so that was nice.
Yeah, it was good, Violetta. That was very good. That was very. She's learning. She's hooked on phonics. All right, Joe, we'll get back with you tomorrow, okay?
You might get a sip at the app when they find out how you won the gift card.
Hold on.
Here's just a little something on us.
Make sure that Joe gets. Make sure we got Joe's phone number. because Joe's got our number. I can tell you that right now.
He's going to block our call tomorrow.
Right now, Joe just looked at his own phone and is like, that was like, okay, I got punked.
There's no way that was a game.
Possibly have been.
Is that really a radio show?
That's not the Rokon.
Can't wait for the recap of that tomorrow where we go through all of our picks one by one and how they did.
That should be stimulating.
I just want to know, Jeff, did you get all of those?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay. All right. Of course he did. He's the one who came up with the game.
I want to see standings for the season. I'll just keep picking the goalies. Richard's still zero.
So we're supposed to think Panic's going to do well. Are we going to really do this for every Blackhawks game?
Okay. You know, I was...
I'll take Kenny Warham, Pierre Palat.
Hey,
Dennis
too soon.
Hull.
Too soon, damn it.
Wait, this is every game? I thought it was just the first game.
Who knows?
And you have the same players for every game.
Don't you worry about it.
Oh, my gosh.
They retire.
Yeah. Right. Wow. The Producers of Fire Festival or whatever that thing was called thought it was going to last, too. Look what happened.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was a big bust.
Things don't always happen. Geez. All right.
You win some, you lose some.
All right. Why don't you do the WGN Traffic Trouble
Spot, will.
Since that is more your forte. Did you take him? Oh, wait, no, he's a bear. Okay, no, he's not. It just occurred to me that we're going to have to do this game again tomorrow because they play over the weekend.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, what fun. I hear I get to start off tomorrow, potentially.
Potentially, because you undoubtedly will lose. Actually, Richard will start off tomorrow because he chose for his points total three goalies tonight.
Dibs on Forsberg for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Bold strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to go with the same three all the time so I don't have to remember other names.
Imagine if some weird carom happens today and Corey Crawford scores a goal.
And it's the only
empty net goal or something like that. Or,
right. He gets one assist and an empty net goal. And it's like, oh, 2 points. Point leader.
Wait a minute. We were laughing at Richard.
And then I get the gift card.
And then Forsberg comes in just to spell him and gets the empty netter.
Oh, my God.
Hey, our live broadcast tonight for the Blackhawks home opener brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. 947-AUTO. All right, coming up, people, please. There are Hockey Hall of Famers are in the room.
Yes,
yes,
and we've got to let's act like we've been here before.
Accordingly, yeah.
Tony Esposito is going to join us. Tony O will
a
be
legend.
Here.
Legend. Looks great.
Looks great on the red carpet. Real sharp.
Very spiffy. Beautiful suit.
Yeah, he's always a great dresser.
He always was a great dresser.
And we'll have a little cologne in his pocket if you want to borrow
some. He's got that old school, really classic vibe going.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Legend.
So he'll be here. And the great Brian Bickell, one of our favorites, one of the most dynamic guys, and one of the best interviews in all of sports, let alone hockey, is going to be with us as well. And he just signed a one-day contract with the Hawks yesterday so he could retire right after, you know, how they sign
sign
their retirement papers. So he retires as a Blackhawk.
Mm-hmm. He's going to do a little skate around tonight.
He could have retired as a Hurricane.
Yeah, we wouldn't want that.
But, you know, what would be the point of that?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
very cool.
Bix will be joining us. And that's coming all your way as we're live here at the United Center. It's Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis live from the Blackhawks home opener at the United Center, brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. We are pleased and proud to have hockey legend, Hall of Famer, and one of the great all-around ambassadors of the sport, Mr. Tony Esposito, with us right now.
Good to see you, Tony.
And this is... when last we spoke, Tony, last season during the playoffs, and it was just the home opener of the playoffs, and there was a lot of excitement around this team.
You have a better memory than I do. That.
Yeah, well, not because it's a happy memory, actually.
No.
But there was a lot of excitement around this team because they played so well during the regular season, and then it was just, you know, just not good in the playoffs. There's no way to describe it. It's disastrous in the
deflating.
Playoffs.
Deflating.
Now, a lot of people were saying because there were so many young players on the team, and it was about the young players gelling. Do you agree with that?
Well, I just think that we had a team that was hot. They were playing very well.
Right. Made it to the Stanley Cup.
We limped into the playoffs, you know. We were less than 500 the last 3 or 4 weeks. So we weren't playing that well. And they were on a high, and then we got in a hole, and then we had to change our game plan. We had to try to, you know, catch up and catch up to them. But
it's as simple as just a bad series, then, you think?
Well, I just think that, when you get 105 or 7 points during the year, you got to be doing something right.
Right.
Yep.
And I just think that players, some key players, never played up to their potential. And as a result, you know, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blackhawks scored 109 points during the regular season, second most in team history. It just
tremendous.
Felt really good.
Yeah.
How excited, Tony, do you think they are to have guys like Brandon Saad back and Patrick Sharp? How excited do you think the Jonathan Toews and the Patrick Kanes are to have guys that they're used to playing with back on the roster?
Well, I mean, we're sure going to miss, you know, Panarin was a great player, but Saad's a bigger player and just as good offensively, and he's got an edge to him. So that's
yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that's an important point. I mean, the one thing that was clearly missing in the Nashville series was that physicality, right?
Absolutely.
And Nashville took it to him on the boards. They took it to him in the middle of the ice.
Well, they came up with the puck all the time. They would go in the corner and they'd pound us and come up with the puck because they were bigger and stronger. But we've improved on our defensive size. And I think that's important.
Right.
And up front, I think that we're a little bit bigger and maybe a little hungrier.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
I would think so.
Because it's Cody Franzen, right? I mean, he's 6'5", 224. He's not a big boy. He's not a little man. And that's an interesting thing in hockey. Because, you know, back in the day, in your day of playing, you know, the big guys weren't necessarily the fleetest on the ice. These guys now are, incredibly fast at their size. Chara, you know, among them, right? That whole generation of guys.
Well, it's a different game than it used to be because it's like they've taken out a lot of the clutching and grabbing, slowing down the game, and they're calling more penalties.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more power plays and things like that, so... I just think that the game has progressed differently, much in the same fashion as football has changed. You know, they've tried to take more of the physical part of the game out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's good or bad, but, as long as the fans like it, that's all that's important to me.
Right. Well,
we love it.
It's interesting because it kind of transitioned to the European style, much more of a finesse game in the 90s into the 2000s. And then... brute strength and size is joining that as well. And it's like all of athletics. These guys in the off season, you know, they're working with their managers and their agents, and they're in these camps, and the nutrition is different.
They're superhuman.
And all the algorithms that the trainers now use to create muscle mass and quick twitch and all of that. I mean,
it's
just the technology has totally changed for these guys. They're specimens.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a different game today, and that's how it is. But the thing is that, they've taken a lot of the aggressiveness out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, as far as pounding people and everything.
But you mean the fighting? Because the fighting is, listen.
It was part of the draw, wasn't
right.
it?
You know.
I think so.
Yeah, you know, for sure. I mean, next door, when at the Chicago Stadium, a fight would start on the ice and three fights would start in the upper deck, right, simultaneously. Yeah. It was just the way it was because that's what you went to go brawl, and it was a different sort of thing. All right, Tony, we know that you've got to run because you're doing some pregame festivities here. Thank you so much for spending your time with us, as always.
Thank you, guys.
You're the best.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
We love seeing you.
Tony Esposito.
Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com. Check it out today.
Great Tom Petty. Special tribute to him tomorrow on the program.
Very nice.
We are live from the United Center. Right now, as we're getting ready for the Blackhawks to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins in their home opener, brought to you by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. All right. We had the great Tony Esposito with us. Coming up,
good
Brian
to see
Bickle
him.
Is going to join us. We're very excited about that. Mm-hmm. We have our matching. I want to thank the Chicago Blackhawks organization.
Yep.
At the Summer Fan Fest, they had they presented the entire team here, including everybody. In front and behind the microphone. Mm-hmm. Wait, can you be? If you're behind the microphone, you're in front. I don't know. What, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Just everybody on the team.
Everybody on the team.
No matter what your position is.
We all have matching Blackhawks jerseys. And Richard Robert just pointed out something to me, which I find incredibly interesting. He has never worn at a sporting event a team jersey.
Neither have
never.
I, Richard.
Never. Yeah, Kev has. I don't know why. This is not, I dig that people do it, but. And, you know, the White Sox were nice enough. I threw out a first pitch one time. I got the White Sox jersey with my name on it. I never wore – well, that would be really annoying to wear the jersey with your own name on it.
Yes.
Or the sweater. But I've never done it, no.
But you look at the Hawks crowd, and probably 98% of people, young, old, doesn't matter your age.
Oh, because it's the best sweater in hockey.
It is.
One of the
best logo. It's the best logo in sports.
No question.
It is, and just,
and,
you know, the
spirit. The red dominates. I'm actually a huge fan of the white sweaters with the black. You know,
like
black, red, black stripes. On the torso and then like the logo.
Oh, sure.
Those are my I think that's the best uniform in all of sports, actually. I love that.
You don't do the Irish green, Richard?
I have one, but I never wear it. No, I like that. I like the hats. I'll wear the hats.
They've got the practice ones that are camo, black camo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're really cool.
Those are cool.
And they also have, you know, I've always enjoyed the specialty, the jerseys that they wear for the outdoor games, you know, those special ones. So that's that's really going to be something right there as well.
Yeah.
Now I do want to say, and it's a very important thought that I'm having right now. Hold on.
You seem preoccupied by lots of other stuff.
I am being told. I'm not sure if we're making a change here.
So you're looking at the producer?
Are we making a line change here?
Can someone call?
Coach Q. Where's Coach Q? Need to know. Who's on the line?
Are we doing a line
change? All right.
I think we're okay.
We're going to have to call a timeout.
He's occupied now anyways. Brian Bickle.
Someone start a fight. We can
Brian
just waste
Bickle
some time.
In, and I'm not sure if we're taking Brian Bickle now or we're taking Brian Bickle coming up.
That was one of those awkward line changes. You get caught sometimes in between.
That's a penalty. That's a penalty.
Right?
We're just lucky they didn't score on us because we weren't prepared.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Derek.
Bickers.
See, that's exactly why I don't wear the sweater, because here I am wearing my oversized Blackhawks sweater.
Well,
and then Bix walks up in his beautiful suit going like, what's wrong with you?
Do these people think they play for the Hawks?
Super fan. You know, I actually wore that for a living. You know, that kind of that's
that what I mean. I'm always, it's always that moment. It's like if you dress up like an army guy and a soldier, you'd be like, you know,
like, hi. Whoa.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
You're a fan.
It's
but you have to wear your jersey. It's so cold in here. You need a little extra layer.
It's almost like there's ice here or something.
Huh. But I will say this, that's why I do. I like to wear the colors when I go to a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't like to wear the jersey because I just think that I believe I am somehow dishonoring the jersey.
I'm with you, 100%.
I feel like I haven't earned it. But you guys were just mentioning they have this amazing new shop here now, right? So you get all kinds of stuff with just a cool logo of the Blackhawks or a hat.
Yeah.
You don't have to go full red sweater.
You can get a black red tutu if you'd like, for instance.
I'm going to get that. See, now that's what I should be wearing. And the, you know, the Hawks organization and the players that know me know that would be much more appropriate for me to wear a tutu than it would be to wear, you know.
If someone asks you why, just say it's for tutu. Is he tutu? Is he one of the players?
Yes, Jordan Tutu.
Jordan Tutu.
He's been placed on long-term injured reserve.
So.
My favorite
represent.
Of the Bears games, though, where you see these guys, you know, every player imaginable represented. You can just tell a lot by the individual by what jersey they're wearing.
Yeah, right. You know? You go to Soldier Field now, though, it's no current players.
No, it's not. It's
Trubisky, though, coming up. Yeah. Coming up.
And when you see Cohen... Right. And Goldman, it does look like it's a guys from Highland Park who had their names put on the jerseys.
Wow.
It's basically what it looks like to me when I see that. I'm like, oh, because if you didn't know any better and you saw the Cohen jersey, you go,
no.
I hate when people put their names on the jerseys.
Yeah.
You're like, no.
No, that's actually a player.
Not a common name. Not a common name in the NFL.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So now we've got Richard to take his sweater off, his jersey off. He can't do it anymore. Because Brian Bickle standing next to him in a beautiful blue suit, and it just doesn't make any sense.
He's an arm's length away, so he's like, I got to strip down.
I can't do this. I can't. This is going to be too embarrassing for everybody. I can't. Not a chance. All right. Coming up, by the way, tomorrow, we should mention this. We're going to do this very, very quickly. A mini review for those who are not going to be able to join us tomorrow, but...
Okay.
The big full review tomorrow, a Blade Runner 2049, one of the most anticipated films of the fall.
I thought you were going to say The Mountain Between Us with Idris Elba and Kate Winslet.
I love those two.
And a love story set against the tragedy of a plane crash.
That does actually seem like, and I've seen the trailer for that. Looks pretty good.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so what is? All right. So 2049. What is it? Should people be buying their tickets right now?
Yes. Yes. Blade Runner 2049 is one of the most amazing movies. You have to see it in the theater. Do not wait for this to come out on streaming, Net Hulu, whatever. You got to watch this on a big screen because it's visually incredible. And you get Harrison Ford, who's in the original. Harrison Ford has now made a career out of bringing back characters that he made iconic back in the day, right?
Because
he was in, he was Han Solo in the 70s, and then he was in the 2017. And then he did the Indiana Jones thing. And then 20 years later, he came back with Indiana Jones. And now he's playing Rick Deckard, the original Blade Runner, who comes back in this movie. And I'm not even going to tell you why he reappears. And then Ryan Gosling, the young kid, playing the new Blade Runner. And it's twisty, bendy, crazy. You're not going to believe what you're seeing. Halfway through, you might get a little bit of a headache trying to figure it out, but you can always enjoy the beauty of it.
Great
check it out.
Cinematography.
By the time it finishes, have you figured out what's going on?
Yes. They do a nice job. They do a better. The original left things so much open-ended that the studio tried to tack on an ending in later releases. This one, though, I will say, if you have never seen the original, you might be a little bit lost. You really do need to see the original. It's not like the Fast and Furious movies where you can kind of pick it up at any of them. Okay, they're fast, and, you know, they're mad. They're furious.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter the order.
It's a little different with this.
Mm-hmm. I do like the Fast and Furious movies, though.
Oh, good for you.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah, actually, not bad.
They aren't bad. They're
listen,
okay.
They're
an entertainment.
They're classic
fluffy
cinema compared to the Transformers franchise.
That's true. That's
there are levels, Rokan.
And that Jared Leto. Let me just say that about that Jared Leto.
Phenomenal.
That Jared Leto is always good. There's something urgent about his performances.
Yeah, wait till you see him in Blade Runner 2049.
Really?
Well, his eyes, well, just his eyes alone on too big of a screen. Well, not in this case. It done something
I don't know
funny.
What they're doing. Yeah,
it's freaky.
They're like, he's got marbles for eyes.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, it's like freaky. What they do to Game of Thrones. It's kind of a weird deal.
Kind of got the feel now like Johnny Depp, where you figure he just shows up in his own clothes and hair, and he just looks like that anyway.
You do.
Jared?
It's so true.
Jared, do you need makeup? No, I'm
good.
No,
nope. Doesn't matter
Don't
what
look
I'm
at me. I'm Jared Leto.
Oh my God.
He's like melted down his Oscar and made teeth out of it or something by now.
Yeah. He's a peculiar fellow.
He is, yes. Which sometimes makes for the best actors.
Our dear friend of the show, the great Lee Ermey, once told me a story about working on a project with Jared Leto.
Oh, my gosh.
And
can you imagine?
And this before Jared Leto was a huge star. Oh. He goes, let me tell you something, son. I'm working with this Jared Leto. And I got to explain a lot of things to him about acting.
Wow.
It's really.
Can you imagine those two?
I cannot imagine those two under any circumstances. All right. Coming up, don't anybody move. The great Brian Bickles is going to be with us. Bix is in the house, retired yesterday as a Chicago Blackhawk.
So cool.
We will talk to him about his ambassadorship for the Blackhawks, for the NHL, and also his work for funding and for more understanding of MS. Which is a disease with which
he was diagnosed last fall.
Been diagnosed, right. Mm-hmm. So we will talk about all that. And his work with pit bulls, too. Really, really cool.
Yeah, lots of great rescue work.
Really been involved in many things. So that's coming your way. But first, Kim Gordon. Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN, our live broadcast. Blackhawks Home Opener brought to you by Geico.
Woo!
Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO.
Awesome and to be here.
We are so pleased
Isn't
and
it?
So proud to have Brian Bickle with us. He's one of our favorites. Brian, it was when you left the team to go to that other, I don't know, I don't even remember
Tears.
What it was. I can't even recall. It was hard because you're not a fan favorite, but you're a media favorite because you get it. You understand the sport. You understand that have a little fun.
Yeah.
In an interview, not just X's and O's, right?
Exactly. I like to joke around. I don't say I'm a funny guy, but I like to keep it loose in the locker room. And, you know, with the media, too. Obviously, there's good times, there's bad times, but I always like to keep it loose and, you know, put smiles on people's faces. And
yes.
Lately, it's seeming like I've been making everybody cry.
I know,
but,
you were. Grown men were crying your no news conference yesterday.
But, no, it's been
heart.
All good. I appreciate, you know, the media side of Chicago, what you guys do for me. And, yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Well, and congratulations on your retirement. Congratulations on your retirement as a Chicago Blackhawk. I think that's a very important it's an important, obviously, an important thing for you. You weren't going in as a Hurricane. I'm pretty sure about that, right?
Yeah.
But this is, this is a moment now. I think where you get to make this turn, because MS is a disease that it's stricken people. I mean, I think almost everybody knows somebody who's been stricken by it, or a number mm-hmm. of people have been stricken by it. It's struck my family, mm-hmm. And it's a concern in my family too. You know, in legacy as well. So there are there's so many advancements. There has been real change in the last 10 years in terms of how the disease is identified, treated, dealt with, right? And now you get to be a high-profile spokesperson for it.
Yeah. I'm actually enjoying it. It's obviously tough to find out the news and then, to not think that you're going to play hockey again, but then, fight back and push and then, finish off the way you wanted to. I know, there was going to be a day, but obviously it came a little short, but... I'm happy to find out the news and move on. I know there was a lot of question marks, what was wrong, and then, finding out. And, I'm happy to be a spokesperson. I know I inspired a lot of people.
You did.
Through my story. I know that I didn't know much about MS before this, but now you see all the people that you knew where you didn't know that had it. So it's
right.
It's touching in different ways and hearing different stories. And hopefully I can, one day raise money to find a cure.
That'd be nice. There's a lot of research in the cause, and it seems like there's some breakthroughs there, but the cure is still not there, right? I mean, there's a long way to
go. Yeah, there's new drugs coming out every 6 months, every year. So there's new drugs that,
improve your quality of life.
Improve your quality and less risk. And I know the way it's going from 10 years ago, it's, hopefully in the next 10 we can find something.
And how does the dog, you were doing a lot of work with pit bulls and pit bull rescues, and it was amazing the kinds of things you were doing there. But then now you've transferred it over and you're helping people with MS.
Yeah, so we just started a program a couple months ago. We worked with the dogs at the start, and then we worked with the abused kids, but now we just launched a new program that we're going to give, these dogs, train them, and then find them, people that have MS. There's different stages of MS. There's, people who need emotional for stability or right. sight. And so we train these dogs through our foundation free of charge. And, it's a progress. It's going to take, maybe 6 months to a year to get these dogs to fit these families and these people. And, we're happy to help.
That's amazing. As Brian mentioned, that's a very extensive process. I just recently did a fundraiser for that, for service animals, for people facing various challenges. And as you mentioned, the training, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars. So if people can help in any way they can,
yeah.
that money is really, because those dogs have to be perfectly trained before mm-hmm. matched up with their
yeah,
human
sure.
companions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as you move on here, and I think you, God makes interesting choices, right? Mm-hmm. And challenges. Are generally the challenges given in front of us are the ones that we can meet, and this is an opportunity for you to be able to use all of that not just your celebrity, but also your great skill at communicating this, and these needs. And again, MS is one of those things that is so misunderstood because it affects almost each individual differently,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's why it's such a tough diagnosis, right? Because people are like, because it mimics many, many other things,
exactly.
and there's before they finally find it. And sometimes, the traditional way of trying to CT scan or whatever it is to see if there's lesions on the brain, which is basically what MS is, sometimes they get missed or they get misdiagnosed as something else. And mm-hmm. it's really, and not every hospital in North America is capable of figuring that out.
Did yours get delayed, your diagnosis? Or?
No, my symptoms were pretty enhanced to line the dots up and say that I had it. Obviously, for being me, I got the doctors right away and I found out, really early. So there's a lot of people, they live with these symptoms for, 10, 20 years. Like it's something to live with, and then they find out years later it's...
And it's harder when it's more advanced.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're catching it at a time when you're catching
exactly,
it...
Exactly. You can...
And point out to people what the symptoms may be.
Exactly.
And what options are available to people. And it's not necessarily a death sentence, or it's not necessarily a total disability sentence as it once was, right?
Right.
So it's kind of where we are.
Yeah, the technology is it's growing, and I'm happy to help. And obviously, it kind of stinks, but we're putting on this earth for a reason. And you hit throw curveballs, and me and my wife, we talked about going in this, but what we wanted to do is a big thing is turn a negative into positive, and I think we've been doing it well, and you know, reaching out to a lot of people that doesn't just necessarily have MS, just the different things in their life. So we're happy to help.
Awesome.
Can we talk Hawks hockey for just a second here?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk, you know, and again, and now that you're a Blackhawk again, I mean, I think that's an important thing. Last year, totally disappointing. What are you looking for that's gonna change here? Because you got the Pittsburgh Penguins in town, three championships in about the same period of time that the Hawks had three championships. Jonathan Toews had the back-to-back of the 17-16 back-to-backs, make them actually the odds on team of the decade. He's trying to whip up his team right there. What do you think the Hawks need to do here to make sure that they're remembered as the team of the decade?
I think you put me on the spot there, but I think, you know, from looking back last year, they're the elite, you know, best in the West, and they kind of coasted into the playoffs. They had like a handful of games, and they kind of, yeah, you know, let games slip, and then
under 500 in the last 3 weeks,
and then they just got beat out. I think you obviously learn from your mistakes. You know, there's a lot of leaders and a lot of pieces that came back that were big parts in championships, but you know, there's a lot of young guys, and I know that those guys in the locker room are going to help them guide the lines to, you know, what they need to do. But look out, because, you know, they have a bitter taste in their mouth from last year, and you know,
that helps, right? I mean, they're competitors. You're a competitor. You understand that.
Yeah, it does kind of suck, but you know, I know they'll bounce back. You know, the Hawks are, everybody wants to play for the Hawks because, you know, we're a winning team, and you know, this is a new fresh start, and everyone starts at zero, and it starts here tonight.
All right.
Yeah, it's interesting though, Brian, because you know, in recent years the Blackhawks were always one of the trendy picks, and now the tendency seems to be some of these geniuses in the national media are saying the Blackhawks aren't even going to make the playoffs. That seems to be the trendy thing now, to say like, oh, they're done, they've gotten soft, they're paying too much money to different guys. Is that something that can motivate players, knowing that? I know players usually say they don't pay attention to that stuff, but do they sometimes?
Yeah, I think they have that in the back of their head. You know, that's just nothing. Everyone starts at zero. This league's so competitive. You could think, you know, you didn't think Nashville was going to go to the finals, and they went to the finals. And, you know, it's with the cap error and the salary cap, it kind of balances every team out. And, you know, but, you know, it's always the Hawks. They're always favorite in any way.
You know what I like about this, though, is that one of the things about the organization that's really amazing is that they adjust. Right, because the salary cap, that the cap era is really the issue, right? Because you can't create these legacy institutional decade-long teams, because you lose guys because of the cap. And I think, you know, Stan Bowman has done such an amazing job at being able to adjust year after year after year. And this year, obviously, you know, there was a loss on the boards in the playoffs to Nashville. If you want to pinpoint one thing, it was that physical play in that series. And then he went out and he hired, you know, guys who looked like, you know, monsters, basically, you know, gigantic defensemen to go in there. And because that was a moment, right? And so this team has adjusted to that. I think you're going to see a lot more aggressive play, do you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's two different levels of hockey. There's the regular season and playoffs. It's a more physical game. That's why I enjoy playing it. You know, they picked up some pieces and got some old pieces that come back to, you know, hopefully make him that good push. And I know they're excited. I was talking to some of the guys down the locker room to get this started and to, you know, get that last year out of the way.
Yeah.
You're such a fan favorite for what you've done on the ice, for sure, but even off the ice, the kind of player you are, the person you are, and you can see that even in the way you're interacting with people here. People love you, Brian. And are you going to have a moment on the ice today? Are they going to do something special for you? Is there anything you can talk about?
There's nothing I can talk about yet. It's all in surprise.
Okay. All right. But, so people are driving in right now. They're in the parking lot.
Yeah,
they're getting ready. Get to your seats, I think, is what we just heard.
I think that's what we can take away from
Cool. An opening night, too. You want to get to your seats because this is one of those places, man.
Yeah, I got a nice box they set me up, so I'll get to
sweet.
Enjoy the game there, and hopefully they can beat Pittsburgh, because a three-peat is really tough. I know they're going to be, you know, slow. They lost last night. They're half of the back-to-back, but it's always nice to win. And the home opener, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right, Bix, thank you so much.
Thanks,
thank
Brian.
For being with us. Brian Bickell, Chicago Blackhawk great and fan favorite. Our live broadcast from United Center. Blackhawks home opener brought to you by Citgo. Citgo is fueling good.
How great is that, Brian Bickell?
Couldn't be a nicer guy.
Just
love him.
And he cuts a dashing figure in his tailored blue suit today, too.
You think the fans like him a little bit?
Oh, gosh.
Amazing.
There was,
amazing.
Like, a line wrapped around the broadcast site. People were, like, fighting to get in here to take a selfie with
him. Yeah, people come over and say, how can I get in there
At one point, Kev got his sweater pulled over his head, and he was flailing away, and I was trying to break it up referee style.
Like, Richard, help me!
And that was a nice woman that was doing that to you.
She said she wanted a photo. I said we're busy.
I came all the way from Berwyn to meet him. Get out of my way, Kev.
Kicked you.
Kind of how it was.
There is... he's special.
He is.
He's a special guy. And, you know, that's it's a tough, very, very, very tough break, right? I mean, kind of a disease, you know, but it's a management issue now, MS. And he is, you know, he's a guy who's incredibly strong. It's so funny about his suit you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, these hockey players, I always contend, are the best fit, the most fit athletes, you know, of the major sports.
Strongest per pound.
Yeah, because they have to have incredible flexibility too. They're like cats.
Yeah, and so
he's got this suit that, you know, totally tailored, and it fits him like a glove. He looks like a superhero in it.
Yeah,
and
or
then
a supermodel.
Like, oh God, I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna split my pants because, you know, I'm so heavy now. And I'm like,
heavy.
What?
You get heavy? Like 1 pound.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they have like an extra centimeter of skin, and they're like, oh no, I got a problem.
They're like brick, though. When you go in for that man hug where you shake, you kind of give like the left hand around the
it
back.
It hurts your hand.
You hit the back, and it's just like boom. It's
yeah,
like a
you're
brick
like,
wall.
I didn't know you could have a muscle there. Right. Like an odd spot.
What is that muscle?
They're so thick and like solid rock.
Oh, yeah.
I really
The man show right here on WGN. Anna, you want to jump in and help us?
I think you guys are good. I really enjoy,
they really have, they smell good. What are we doing?
What kind of cologne is that?
But it's true because like Kevin's mentioned, that, you know, the hockey players can wear the skinny tailored suits. The football players, they just take the fabric sample and drape it over them and make a cutout for their head. And then there's the tailored suit.
And add 100 buttons and you're good to go.
Yeah, 100 buttons and like
the matching socks.
Although, have you noticed now this year, and I know, because Deion Sanders teaches me everything I need to know about what to wear.
Oh, he's a sharp dresser.
Right, because Deion Sanders was the guy that invented the 500 button suit.
Prime time.
And now they wear, it's like a tuxedo. Uh-huh. It's like a...
double-breasted?
It's single-breasted, but it doesn't close. Yeah. It's like a shawl collar, except it's notched, and it doesn't close, and it opens. It stays open. It's not even closable. It's like a two-thirds suit. It's not even designed to be buttoned. And then underneath it, you put a vest or something like that that's like a number of buttons, right? So that
more buttons.
Because you got to get your buttons in.
It takes a long time to get dressed, but it's
worth
it.
And then a tie with an 8-inch knot.
Yes.
And then a pocket square that doubles as a dining room table that's gigantic.
And you're good.
And they look good.
And so
the colors you've never seen in any other spectrum.
So I'm sitting there watching Deion Sanders, and I'm thinking, can I pull that off? The answer is no.
I don't know. I like the NBA guys who wear the colorful socks, and they have the pants that end so you can see the cool socks.
Yes. There you go.
Like the D-Wades.
There you have it. All right. The Chicago Blackhawks are about to take the ice in their home opener against the Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. It's a grudge match to start the season. It's going to be a lot of fun, and this is going to be an amazing Blackhawks season. I can just feel it, and we want to thank the Blackhawks for having us out here, and of course Chef Mike for everything that he does for us as well, and the organization for putting us in such a great spot here at the United Center. We want you to enjoy the game coming up right now on 720 WGN.
Go Hawks!